United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Well, so Tracy and friends here on WSLM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 20th of February, 2014. And Pharrell Williams says, can't nothing bring me down. And so we're going to keep the whole day going in a happy mood because I want everyone to be happy because I'm happy. So the number again is 347-945-5229. And I'm still on the song. I'm sorry.
You're what?
I'm still on this song. I haven't let it go yet.
I love this song. I mean, that's a real, that's a toe tapper.
I would like to just have this song exclusively where no one else can have it.
They probably arranged that for a couple mil.
Not a couple. Did you hear what Facebook went for yesterday?
What?
It's like $14 billion.
Oh, they bought that site that has like 12 employees.
Yeah, they just, yeah.
It's called Squashing the Competition.
That's Mark Zuckerberg. My name is Tracy Winbush, and I got about two people. And if you want to come buy my company for a couple dollars, give me a call.
I got a site they can buy for $29.99.
and that's not all. Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, Mark? Today's a Mark day. Today, Mark Knows It All Thursday. And the question is, today that I want to know is, do you know who America's dancing with? Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
This is wonderful. You know, the sun's out today, but I turned on my pad here, and I got this little thing saying there's stuff going on. There's a wind advisory up starting tonight through tomorrow night. Lots and lots of wind.
Lots and lots of wind?
I hate wind.
Why do you hate wind?
Because it usually brings down the trees in my yards and the electricity goes out. And when I don't have electricity, I'm not a happy camper.
That's because you guys live out there in the foo-foo-poo-poo area.
Only the semi.
No. You live in the foo-foo-poo-poo area.
That's semi-foo-foo-poo-poo. I'll take it at the foo-foo-poo-poo area. Believe me, I've been in a couple of those homes. There's a mucky muck in town who, of an organization that I belong to, and this individual was talking about the hoi polloi, and I always considered myself a member of the hoi polloi, and she said she talked about people with Formica countertops. I have a Formica countertop.
What's wrong with that?
Apparently, it's not. How would you say foo foo poo poo enough?
Yeah, but you know, it's so dated.
This granite stuff is really nice. I want something I can get my knife down and whack it.
You can whack it.
When I'm cutting the tomatoes and not worry if something goes wrong.
I have Formica, but if I had my choice, I would go and get another. I would do granite. Or Corian. or marble?
I don't know. We the excuse that we used, the real reason was I didn't have the money to put the granite in.
That sounds good.
But the excuse we used was the house was built in 1972 and we wanted to keep it at the period because they didn't have granite countertops back in 1972.
That is not a good – that no mark.
It's got
no.
A wood trim. It's really kind of pretty. You've seen
it. Yeah, it is beautiful. But
Now, we have a guy coming on at 9:30. Who do we have coming on?
Michael Rubin.
All right. He's going to talk about?
Dancing with the Devil.
That's scary stuff.
It's about foreign policy.
Yeah, I know it's about foreign
policy. Over the years.
Wow.
And I'm excited to have him on.
Yeah. I saw him on Fox News the other day. I'm impressed. When I was in here yesterday, this guy's going, we're going to be talking to him tomorrow. And I thought, wow.
Why are you impressed?
I mean, this is 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Alan West.
Yeah.
And now Michael Rubin.
What?
And tomorrow we're going to be here with one of the Supremes.
Supreme, yes, that's right.
Yeah,
Supreme Court Justice Sharon Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I'm looking so forward tomorrow, so I'm glad you brought that up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Supreme Court Justice Kennedy, and she is on the Ohio Supreme Court, and we're going to talk about the law. The canon cannot allow them to give you any viewpoint of their own personal views.
Yeah.
They can't say absolutely nothing. But I thought it would be a great opportunity for her to educate us on law.
Yes.
Because you need to know criminal. I mean, we have all these terms: stand your ground, castle law, reasonable doubt, first degree, second degree, involuntary. And I want to know. Well, okay, we know what they sound like, but what is really the legal quote unquote definition? Because the legal definition is not always what you think it would be.
Yeah, well, the laws. Well, when it comes to the law, the line that comes to mind is that when I talk with folks is, and I've learned this after practicing for 30 some years, law is not about justice. Law is about settling disputes, and there's a difference. And whether it's criminal or whether it's civil, it never is what you think it's supposed to be, and that's a little disconcerting for folks. It's going to be an interesting discussion tomorrow. She's a nice lady.
Yes.
I've met her. And
great lady. Justice French is going to come on with us before the year is out. But I thought this was a great opportunity for Justice Kennedy to come on and hang out with us.
That's wonderful.
And she's up for election this year, and we're going to talk about, her running for office. She's a great justice. And you don't want people in there who have political agendas.
No. You want somebody on whether it's the state Supreme Courts or the U.S. Supreme Court, somebody that's going to do the right thing. Speaking of which, I asked you before we came on the air if I can have a little rant time. Can I have some rant time?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure you can have rant time. Rant.
All right.
What are you ranting?
There was a story on the news last night that started to get some legs this morning, and it is one of the most disturbing stories that I have heard in a long time. And I'm going to preface this by saying everybody knows, Tracy and I are conservatives, and whether you're talking with Sticks, whether you're talking with Jeffrey or Tracy or me, and there's all sorts of brands of conservatism, and I think each of us represents a different brand of conservatism. But we all believe in the Constitution as being the stalwart, the rock on which this country is built.
It's the fundamental foundation of the country.
Yes, the foundation of the country. And I don't want to hear, and finally, this morning driving over here, I concluded that Jeff is right. Jeff is right.
About
in
what?
His approach, saying he's tired of hearing people defend what goes on, and he gets tired of people just looking what's going on and turning a blind eye, because the time has come now to say enough is enough. And the story I'm referring to is the story about the FCC proposed rules are. Have you seen that yet?
I heard.
That is one of the most disturbing things I have ever heard, coming from the socialist jackasses in the White House.
I heard, but I didn't think, I thought it was a, I thought it was a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor.
Mark.
It's the story. It's just now starting
to
get
legs. I heard some, because FCC is like Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy and Friends is like, has something to do with the FCC.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yes.
And I'm governed in what I do
Yes.
Spectrums and Broadcast.
Yes.
FCC.
Yes.
And so I heard the word FCC, but I really, I saw some crazy language.
What they want to
no,
do.
No, no, no. I saw some crazy language.
It's crazy language.
And I said to, in my head, I was, you know, because you're thinking as you're listening, it's a rumor, and I passed it up. It was a fake blog, because everything on the Internet's not real, Mark.
It was on Fox News this morning.
Everything on Fox News is not real.
I believe this one's real.
Mark, it can't be real.
It's real.
It can't be.
It's real.
Why?
It's real.
No.
Because they, listen, it's absolutely in line with the ideology that's coming out of this White House. Now, he fooled the American public. He fooled the American public in 2008. He fooled them again in 2012. And these people that blindly defend what he's doing for whatever reason need to take a good look at what a lying jerk this guy is. It's time for him to go.
Whoa.
Hello.
What it's talking about net neutrality.
No, what he's talking about is he wants to put government officials into the staff rooms of news organizations to determine how decisions are made as to which news stories are aired.
Hold on, no, Mark. Come on.
That is not a rumor.
No.
It's not a rumor.
Mark.
That's what he wants to do.
I saw that right there. See, there it is. I saw that right there. I saw it on Facebook, and I said, oh, it's not real.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Okay, let's try this again. They really want to put...
You have to understand, you have progressives. You know, there's Democrats, and there's the Democrats that we live with in here in the Mahoning Valley, and these are traditional liberal Democrats. But these people are off in space. While they're screaming and yelling about the Tea Party on the right, these people are progressives and came into office with an agenda. And this agenda, they are attacking one by one. Now he ran into a problem. He ran into a problem because we have a Republican Congress. So now he's trying to do this by fiat and telling his people that are running these agencies, this is what we want you to do. And this was a directive from the White House to the Federal Communications Commission.
Mark.
To do this.
No, hold on. Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, is a part of the United States Constitution.
Yes.
So I have the right to write, say, publish, create.
Yes.
As I choose, against whom I choose, how I choose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm an American.
Yes.
I'm a little dumb.
But only if you explain to the government why you're doing it.
No. I'm a little dumb. No. Because I'm real. You know, I'm real slow. Everybody knows I'm slow. So, if you have the freedom of speech and I have the right to publish, to say, to distribute, to create, as I choose, if you put a bureaucrat in the room and he censors what I do.
It goes by the wayside. You know, you're looking at the areas of control that these people are going into. You've got to understand, and the American public, I have a theory, and we've talked about this, Tracy, although I don't think we've ever talked about it on the program. Everybody views the world in the box in which they live, and that box in which you live is you're getting from the schools, you get from your parents, and you have a expectation of what's going to happen in the order of things in life. With Barack Obama, this country has never been able to see that he is operating outside the box, and I mean literally outside the box. So what he's doing is not within the experience of most Americans unless you're an historian and you look at what they do. And now, you know, he started with health care. He's trying to get the gun control. He's messing with the Internal Revenue Service, and I'm going to go through the things, what they're doing right now, okay? The government is reading your emails. They're monitoring your phone calls. They wanted to put tracking devices on license plates. They're using the IRS for political intimidation. They're tapping the phones of various news people that they don't agree with, and I'm talking about Howard Rosen. Now they want to, you know, they're trying to let, they're trying to stop the use of coal in this country through fiat, and now they're going to go and they want to control the media. And this has been a dream of progressivism, because the media shines the light on what they do, and Americans, by our nature, don't like what these people stand for. We're for freedom. We're for standing up and expressing ourselves. And we don't need the government going into our newsrooms under the guise of licensure for the FCC, telling people what you really need to be reporting on this. Don't report over that. And this is, and this, if you look down in Venezuela, this is how they did it down there. This is no different. This is nothing new.
First State Henry Kissinger, who was here ringing the bell, commemorating 30 years of
everyone faces
U.S.-China relations, which, of course, were made possible by the hard work that Secretary Kissinger did while serving under President Nixon. We welcome you, sir. Thank you very much for being
with us.
Good to
be here.
The obvious first question is the situation in Gaza. What is, that's an area of the world you have worked very hard on. What is your view? How serious is this?
We have to remember, Israel withdrew from Gaza unconditionally in 2005. And they are reacting to rocket attacks that have been launched out of Gaza. So the problem is, can those rocket attacks be stopped? And then they will have to stop their military operation. It's a complicated situation, but it's one that I believe will be solved, because if peace is to evolve in the Middle East, Israel has to take its responsibilities, but the moderate Arab nations have to take responsibility for the conduct of Israel's neighbors.
Do you believe that this is, some people say that rocket, everything will stop a few days before the Obama inauguration, that this is all very politically motivated. Do you think that's true?
I think it's a continuing process. The fundamental problem is, can Gaza conduct itself in a way that it is not a military threat to Israel? Then there will have to be a negotiation eventually, and soon, between Israel and the Palestinians about an overall peace settlement.
What do you think the most important thing is for Barack Obama? Obviously, you're here to talk about the anniversary for U.S.-China diplomatic relations, but if you had to say this is going to be the country or the conflict or the place that will define the Obama administration, what would it be?
The president-elect is coming into office at a moment when there are upheavals in many parts of the world simultaneously. You have India, Pakistan, jihadist movement. So he can't really say there is one problem, that it's the most important one. But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
Are you confident about the people?
Hey, we're back, and I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, but I need you to understand, we have heard new world order. We have heard, and all of this plays together, FCC communication, what goes out, what comes in, what you get, what you don't get, where you get it, how things happen, and you have to look at the writing on the wall. And if this is not to demonize a person, it is to demonize an ideology that he is executing.
Yeah, and I want folks to understand, this isn't a rumor. The head of the FCC, commissioner, his name is Ajit Pai. This was a Wall Street Journal op-ed piece that appeared yesterday. This was in the Wall Street Journal. The guy wrote what he wants to do. The FCC, and this is Howard Kurtz writing about what the op-ed piece said. The FCC says it wants to examine the process by which stories are selected, and this is the one I love, as well as perceived station bias and perceived responsiveness to underserved populations. it's the bias that they're looking for. This is what they want. They're trying to implement the fairness doctrine again, and this is the first step to try to get the fairness doctrine. But what this does is it puts the government in the newsrooms. And let me tell you something.
And they're already there.
If the government has, by the way, they're starting this in Columbia, South Carolina this spring. So they're sitting over there, and the government official's sitting there with his hand on your shoulder and says, we don't think you should be reporting on this story. Explain to me why you're reporting on this story. You know what? You're not going to report on the story because these guys, look what the IRS did to the Tea Party. This is bad stuff.
Listen to this. And I got to say this. I played the clip for Henry Kissinger because this is an execution of a plan that has been going on for years. President Obama, those of you who are in love with him, need to see past all of the facade and look at the execution of what he's doing and how it's going to play out when he leaves. Because you fail to realize what you see today, as enamored as you are with him today, the policies and the procedures and the things that he is putting in, he's allowing to be put in, is going to affect you, and he's going to be long gone. And I don't think we really comprehend that. I'm not going to blame all of this on him, but I am going to say I make him take responsibility for everything that he's doing. Because what he is doing is he is executing a bigger plan. Progressivism is a larger plan than one person. But he is the face and he is the smile who comes out and serves you the poison that you drink. He is the apple. For those of you who knew Snow White. And there is not a prince that's going to come behind you and kiss you and make you come back to life and live happily ever after if we continue to allow these types of things to continue.
Where's the news media with this?
There is none.
He bought them off.
What, buy them off? They
he
already
bought,
own
yeah, they bought,
what do
listen,
mean bought them off? They already
with,
own them.
They were liberal to start with, but he goes in there and you look. Let me tell you something. Comcast is taking over
Time Warner.
And if this were any other president right now, they would be in court trying to stop it today.
If it was any other?
Yeah.
No,
because,
Mark.
It's not
any other.
Because guess what? Comcast owns.
They own it all.
They own NBC.
They own Disney. Well, no, Time Warner owns Disney.
No, ABC owns Disney.
Yeah. NBC.
ABC owns Disney.
Viacom?
We'll see who owns.
I'm going to look at who owns what.
No, so Disney owns ABC.
I'll look at it during
the
break and come back.
Yeah.
I got to call Michael because this is a good segue. I wanted to get the foreign policy because it all plays together. You don't want, I mean, the Telecommunications Act of 1996 is what's caused this monster. And I don't think we understand. I mean, they gave you C-SPAN, but they don't show you anything that happens. So you really don't see anything but what they want you to see. You are not policing your government as you should. And Mark, I love that we blame Obama for this, but this is bigger than him. This is huge.
He's the one that's out front right now.
But he's the one. He is the poison apple. He's the one who's feeding it to us.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe Henry Kissinger said he, because of who he is, he would be a great person to establish and to implement the New World Order.
We have a problem.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we got to stand up and say no. Just say no.
You can't say no.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
You can't say no. I'm taking a break. I'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown woman is suing St. Elizabeth Medical Center for $25,000. She says they disposed of her deceased baby without her permission. The woman was carrying twins, and one of the babies didn't make it. She claims she wanted to give the baby a proper funeral. Valley Congressman Tim Ryan is campaigning for Jim Tressel to be the next YSU president. Ryan sent the YSU Board of Trustees a letter asking them to consider Tressel for the job. Tressel told local media outlets he's happy with his current position at the University of Akron. Several business and community leaders want to see the former Ohio State football coach to take the job. And after a bit of a delay, the State House has approved a plan to add 4 more calamity days to school districts in our state for this year. The bill now heads to the Senate. Many districts in the state have used up their allotted 5 calamity days. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
It was the worst airplane trip I'd ever been on in my life. I looked at my boarding pass. They had me in row 187K. 187K. I didn't even realize they made airplanes that big. I mean, economy ended in row 90, so you can imagine the section I was sitting in. Well, I finally got to my seat. What a nightmare. On one side of me, a screaming baby. No adults. Just a screaming baby. On the other side, a fish. A fish, yeah, a real fish. I mean, usually I like to talk to the guy sitting next to me, but this character had no personality at all. Although he did kind of chuckle when the stewardess mentioned that the seat could be used as a flotation device. Anyway, just to show you how rude this guy was, he starts smoking a pipe and fills the whole cabin up with smoke. But I got the last laugh when the stewardess came around. He ordered red wine. Fish with red wine. Imagine that. You just did. You saw it on the radio.
Get your business noticed. Call 330-783-1000.
This time, it's personal. Tune in to News Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from 9 to noon, Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation on everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from 9 to noon on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, do you owe big money on your credit cards? Have late fees, high interest, going nowhere with payments? Hello, yes, I'm talking to you. Well, here's what I want you to do. Call the credit card company and tell them you're sick of their nonsense and you're only going to pay them back some of their money. Well, most likely if you did this, they would say you're goofy and hang up on you. But as crazy as this sounds, this is exactly what the partner companies and National Debt Relief will do for you. If you have credit card debt, department store, gas cards, medical bills, any unsecured debt, National Debt Relief firms will settle those debts for less than what you owe. It's that simple. But you have to call them. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call them. 1-800-210-0146. When you call, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the credit card companies don't want you to know. Free information that lets you pay less than what you owe. Call 1-800-210-0146. Come on, you only have so much money, so stop giving it away. Get your free info now. Call 1-800-210-0146. 1-800-210-0146.
Salem High School basketball returns to News Talk 600 WSOM. When the Quakers are at home this season, News Talk 600 will be there. From the opening tip-off to the final buzzer, you'll hear all the action on News Talk 600. Brought to you by Giant Eagle of Salem, Consumers National Bank, and the Dental Health Group. Salem Quaker basketball from the Salem High School Boosters and News Talk 600 WSOM.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, goodbye. Good afternoon. Good morning again, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 35 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I am sitting in the studio with Mark Manji, and I have Michael Rubin on the phone with me, and he is the author of Dancing with the Devil. And It's The Pearls of Engaging in Rogue Regimes. And we're talking about, you know, the how things come together. And I really don't think we really know where the decisions are being made when it comes to – why don't you use the other one, Mark? When it comes to America and foreign policy. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on with us. I am enjoying your book. It just came out.
Thank you. That's always good to hear.
And this is awesome. It's a very good education on foreign policy and how America has been sticking its nose into everybody else's business, not knowing what it's doing over the years.
Well, indeed. I mean, what I'm looking at, it's not a condemnation of diplomacy. It's a history of a half century of American talks with rogue regimes and terrorist groups. And what we need to do is understand that when we sit down at the table, they're not operating necessarily with the same sincerity we are, nor is this phrase we often hear that it never hurts to talk true. Talking can be a good solution, but it can very much hurt to talk if we don't do it properly.
Why is it that we haven't learned how to do it properly?
You know, I spend about a third of my time with the U.S. military doing training, and one of the things that amazed me about the Pentagon and aircraft carriers and army bases and so forth is that our men and women under uniform spend about a third, spend the majority of their time, more time in the classroom going over their mistakes than they actually do in the field, because they want to become better soldiers, better sailors, better pilots. Never once in the State Department's history have they ever conducted a lessons learned exercise to see where and how they went wrong. Albert Einstein had a quip that the definition of insanity is doing the same action repeatedly but expecting different results each time. Unfortunately, by that definition, people in the State Department, well, maybe a little bit insane.
Well, I mean, I thought we were the brightest. I thought we were the biggest, the brightest, and the best.
Well, I think we too, and we should be. When we sit down with rogue regimes, states like North Korea, Iran, and by the way, this isn't my definition. I'm using the Clinton administration's definition. We shouldn't see ourselves as equals to them. We should be negotiating from a stronger position of power. You know, one of the biggest misconceptions about dialogue and about talk is that you can just sit down and start the talk, and that brings peace. But when we think back, for example, to Nixon going to China or to Ronald Reagan sitting down with Mikhail Gorbachev in the 1980s, both of those episodes culminated after years of military buildups and preparations before we finally outstretched our hand.
Tell me, what made you write this book? What was the impetus of this book? What caused this?
Well, Tracy, I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in a family of veterinarians, but I'm the black sheep of the family because I'm allergic to dogs and cats. So I ended up going off and doing a PhD in Iranian history. Long story short, I spent time in the Islamic Republic of Iran. I spent time with the Taliban before 9/11, and I spent time in Iraq before the war. And what really struck me is just the importance of freedom and liberty and how, once I started reading and speaking Persian, Farsi, how these people in Iran, for example, were outplaying us. The Iranians have a quip that they play chess while the Americans play checkers. That may be generous. All too often, we're simply playing solitaire.
Why don't we learn this? I mean, we were talking about the news earlier and the media. And the
why?
Media, I mean, we don't. I mean, seriously. If you look at what we really understand, I know that Molly Cyrus is on a wrecking ball. I heard about Ted Nugent last night. But tell me, why is it that we don't educate the public anymore about the process, the procedure, and what's really going on and how we can make our lives better when it comes to anything, including foreign policy?
Well, you know, the insulation of the American public is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it's allowed us to grow up, develop our economy, feel secure, and so forth. But ultimately, what we need to recognize now in this world is just having two oceans on either side of America isn't enough, that the problem people have with America isn't simply based in a grievance. And if it's based in a grievance, then you can solve it. That's what diplomats want. For too many people, for example, the grievance, however, is ideological. They hate us because of their ideology. We need to recognize that, and if the American public don't, and if the American media don't start reporting the reality of what's going on in North Korea, in Iran, and so forth, then ultimately we're going to wake up with far greater trouble.
What do you want us to take away from this book?
What I want to take away from this book is that diplomacy is a good strategy, but we're doing it wrong. It's part of a broader strategy. This idea that we can simply wish away our enemies by sitting down and talking with them, it's just woefully naive.
Okay, Michael, listen to this. For me to say I'm wrong about something, you know, I was taught by my parents that I had to be a bigger person. We don't say we're wrong in America. We don't say that we've got it all wrong. And we say that we know everything, and we never listen to other people in saying we need to do something better.
Well, I certainly believe, Tracy, that we need to do things better. What we need to recognize, however, and this goes to the root of this idea of not simply negotiating with enemies or adversaries, but with this concept of rogue regimes, are that these are states that don't adhere to the norms of diplomacy. When we sit down at the table, we can address complaints of our allies and our adversaries through a negotiation process, and that's good. But when North Korea and Iran sit down at the table, they may simply be less interested in coming to a resolution of peace and more interested in running down the clock. Likewise, when we're sitting down and talking to the Taliban, we need to recognize that the Taliban may have its grievances, but ultimately those grievances may not be legitimate. There's a difference between negotiating with the Taliban, of course, and negotiating with Mexico or Canada or France.
Michael, can I ask you a question?
How
is it, as we're going forward, and you look back in history, how is it that we consistently get it wrong? I mean, I don't understand, you know, whether it's Iran or North Korea or even what happened in Vietnam. It seems like we're neuter when it comes to dealing with these rogue countries.
You know, first of all, I don't think we always get it wrong. That said,
give us an example where we get it right.
Well, I'll give you a couple examples, but the book, it's not a partisan polemic. It's not simply criticizing President Obama, because this is a problem that has extended back across administrations to the Eisenhower era. We've had a shift in the understanding of how statecraft works. Now we talk about, let's try diplomacy first. It doesn't work. We'll try economic sanctions. If that doesn't work, then military is the last resort. What we used to do, and what was more effective, is to use all the elements of our power together, and that actually makes diplomacy much more likely to succeed. A case in point would be 2003, when Muammar Gaddafi gave up his nuclear weapons program. We know for a fact, because Muammar Gaddafi said as much in an interview, that it wasn't just the offer of negotiations that made him change his mind. It was the fact that he really feared the U.S. military if he didn't. When we look at Iran right now, a case in point, their economy, according to their own statistics, had shrank 5.4% in the year before we started talking with them. Our goal is to get them to stop with their what we suspect is their nuclear weapons program. Now, in order to entice them to the table, we gave them, depending on who you talk to, either $7 billion or $20 billion in sanctions relief. That's like giving a five-year-old dessert first and then expecting them to want to sit at the dinner table. We need to get we need to work together with much better coordination rather than simply defer diplomacy to the State Department. This should be the job of the National Security Council.
I as I look back in history, and I think it goes back, you know, beyond Eisenhower. I think, you know, Roosevelt had the problems dealing with Nazi Germany, and he knew what was coming when the American public did not. But if you look at the biggest success we have, it was Ronald Reagan and the eventual fall of the Soviet Union. I believe that foreign policy is 90% perception. It's not what you actually would do. It's what the other side think you might do. And nobody wanted to mess with Reagan. You know, he was talking about Star Wars, but Star Wars really wasn't feasible, and the Russians couldn't keep up. And we have lost that. Nobody believes anything anymore. And I'm going to go back to, it's not just a Democratic thing, it's a Republican thing. We have become afraid to effectively use our military force in a meaningful way. And when we do, it goes in with all these restrictions, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. I've never seen anything like it. And we keep doing it over and over again. I don't get it.
You know, I share your concern. Because when I travel in the Middle East, and I just came back from Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates a couple weeks ago, last month, you have a situation in which it's clear that wars in the Middle East are not caused by oil, not caused by water either. Fundamentally, they're caused by one side's overconfidence. So if we draw red lines and then don't enforce, that only encourages our adversaries to push further. One of the biggest misconceptions, which really frustrates me, is when people talk about military strategies, all too often the public thinks, oh, that means bombing. It doesn't. Containment is a military strategy. Deterrence is a military strategy. And all of this adds to the psychological pressure on an adversary, which convinces them that diplomacy is the best option. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. We no longer effectively use our military. If we want diplomacy to succeed, we've got to make sure that our military pressure remains robust. I'm the last person who wants any bombing. I've lost too many friends in war and so forth. But talking can be the shortest path to war if it's not done properly.
Michael, my question is, I mean, what you're saying, and we're talking with Michael Rubin, and he is the author of Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging in Rogue Regimes. What you're saying is not rocket science to me. It's the art of getting things done. Why?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you.
I don't understand it. If it's not rocket science to me, and I'm really not smart, why don't we get it?
Politics? You know, again, it goes back to the fact that the State Department, look, when you're a hammer, Tracy, everything looks like a nail. If you're a diplomat, everything looks like a subject for discussion. What we've lost is a broader strategy, and that's the fault of, frankly, the White House, and not just this White House. We've had other problems in the past. While I agree that our biggest success was the end of the Cold War under Ronald Reagan, at the same time, Reagan does not deserve praise for his outrage to Saddam Hussein. We saw where that led.
Sure, sure. I agree. Like, this is not a partisan issue. If you look back how Eisenhower and Kennedy handled Cuba, I mean, I read the history and I think, what were these guys thinking? And you go forward, you look at how Carter handled Iran. It just seems to me that back when they took over the embassy, that country was in turmoil. And that was the time to go in there and take care of the problem. So we didn't do it, and now how many years later? We're still dealing with a much more serious problem, a much more dangerous problem, and I'll be honest with you, Michael, they scare me half to death, because if there's a nuclear war, that's where it's coming from.
You know, one of the revelations I had in working on this book, and again, when I was working on Dancing with the Devil, I wasn't just using English sources. What makes the book special is I was going to Iran, I was going to Korea, I was using their own language sources and so forth, is interviews with the hostage takers. What I found out is that the Iranians, and they talk about this openly, planned for the embassy seizure only to last for 2 days. It was a symbolic action. But there was a White House meeting under Jimmy Carter, and it was leaked to the newspapers, I believe to the Boston Globe, that the result of the meeting, the crisis meeting, was that military action had been taken off the table. What the hostage takers in Iran said is when they read that leak, loose lips sink ships, when they read that leak, that's when they determined that there would be no consequence for upping their demands and continuing to hold the hostages, and so we had a hostage crisis that lasted 444 days. This is a case in point about how talking can hurt if you take the military option off the table.
Michael, is there a reason why, I mean, and not just in the United States, but if you look at worldwide, these rogue regimes, we've talked about Iran, let's talk a little bit about North Korea. Why is it that the United Nations and other countries give that country any legitimate status at all, and why doesn't the world just go in and take that jerk out?
You know, that's an excellent question, and a lot of it comes down to moral equivalency and cultural equivalency. People have become so hamstrung by political correctness, they're afraid to say that some other system is wrong. One of the other conclusions I got from working on this book, Dancing with the Devil, is one of the best indicators about whether or not diplomacy is going to work is whether the target of our diplomacy, these rogue regimes, start respecting religious freedom or not. Too often, the White House or the State Department, and again, it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat in the White House or a Republican, will sort of whitewash the rogue regime because they want diplomacy to succeed. They want diplomacy geared towards this false image they've created rather than the reality. But if you want to understand the reality of North Korea or of Iran or of the Taliban, the key factor to look at is whether or not they respect religious freedom.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I agree with that.
Why do you say that?
Well, basically, because it says a lot about the nature of the regime. If you're going to target your own religious minorities, chances are you haven't really changed or come in from the cold tracing.
I agree with that.
When you get with North Korea, though, this guy not only is a communist. This is not a country. This is a fiefdom what's the first name and the last name in Korea? But the Kim Jong Il or whatever his name is now, the kid.
It's Kim Jong Un. Yeah.
Yeah. You look at this. He's starving his own people. On what basis of legitimacy does the world let this guy continue to exist? It's beyond my comprehension. This guy, we give him country status. Why? Who's got ambassadors over there? That's not a country. This guy's a tyrant king. Throw him out.
You know, the point is that we should never have even let North Korea get this far. When you actually look at North Korea, everything they have is the result of bungled diplomacy. They are a poor country, but we've given them billions of dollars in aid. How did they use it? To feed their army, to construct their nuclear weapons program, so they now have nuclear weapons. It really is a disgrace. One of the conclusions I got from talking to the Koreans, from going up to the DMZ, from seeing the North Korean soldiers, is that they bluster and expect reward. It may not be easy, but at some point we need to stand up to their bluster so that they learn that the key to getting money, to getting aid and assistance, isn't to create an outrage.
Do you really think we'll ever get that far, to where we'll actually stand up to him like that?
Not with Dennis Rodman and Jimmy Carter, we won't.
how do we let that happen? I mean, they're dangerous. The kid is crazy. It's dangerous.
Well, I mean, if you want to know how it happened, there's a whole history of that, which I tried to explain in the book, Dancing with the Devil. But what scares me is that when you read what the Iranian nuclear negotiators say in Farsi, they're not holding up Muammar Gaddafi in the 2003 deal as an example. They're not holding up becoming a Sweden or a Ukraine as an example. They're holding up North Korea as an example, and that's something we're making the same mistake twice.
Will you talk a little bit about Syria to me and the Middle East and what we're doing and how we are handling this and where we're going and the Arab Springs? I mean, tell me a little bit how we're going to deal with this and with our relationship with Israel.
Well, basically, I don't understand the current initiative to drive Arab-Israeli peace right now, because Israel, and for that matter the West Bank, Palestine, are the most stable areas in the region, so I wouldn't want to upset the apple cart. But this goes into the whole issue, Tracy, of sincerity. And people think of the former Egyptian president, Anwar Sadat, as a great peacemaker because, of course, he flew to Jerusalem, he spoke before the Israeli parliament, he made the first peace deal between Israel and Egypt. They think of him as a great peacemaker, but what they forget is his history before that. Before he tried to make peace, he sought to eradicate Israel through war in 1973. It was only when he concluded that he couldn't meet his aims through war that he decided to sue for peace. Now, the problem with the Israel-Palestine peace treaty right now, or peace talks, is that so many in the Palestinian territories haven't concluded that they can't get their aims through violence. Therefore, they'd be perfectly willing to sit down at the diplomatic table and see what they can get, but whatever chips they can't get at the diplomatic table, they're going to try to get through war, and that's not the way to have a diplomatic process. We need to watch our opponent's sincerity.
And we don't do it. Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Tracy.
I'm enjoying your book. It is a great education piece. I would recommend it to anyone who wants to get a non-partisan, non-biased view of regimes and America's foreign policy. Because a lot of us, we really don't know foreign policy. We don't know what's going on. And we hear the television, we hear the radio, we hear the news, the talking heads, but we really don't get an in-depth study where actually we can actually go and research and look at what's going on and getting a history of where we are today. And your book does that. And I want to thank you for that.
I appreciate your kind words.
I mean, and I'm serious about it because, I mean, some of us, I'm a dingbat when it comes to this. You know, I watch television, but this is not what I call my reading. You know, I want to read something like, you know, I don't know, something stupid for recreation. So if I'm not working, you know, reading is something really light. But sometimes we need to get an education in some things so that we understand the background, the history, and the foreground of what people are saying, so we can think a little bit deeper when we hear things. And your book gives that kind of insight, and it's a good read.
Thank you.
Mark?
You got to read this book. Tracy, I know you're reading it. You've made great progress in this book, but you have to finish it before you can pick up Passion on the Beach and finish that one.
Oh, please. Now, you can buy this anywhere books are sold. It is everywhere. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. And you, Michael, do you have a website, blog?
I do. I all my stuff can be reached via www.michaelrubin.org, and I'm also on Twitter at MRUBIN1971, which is my birth year. I'm getting kind of old. So at MRUBIN1971.
Now, I have one more question before you go. How did you pick up foreign policy? And I mean, I got your allergy to the dogs for the vets, but how did you get to this?
You know, a lot of it's just serendipity. I was in the right place at the right time, or as my wife and my parents say, I was in the wrong place at the right time, and I just got the bug. Some people have the passion, and I got the passion for this. My first degree's in biology, and a D in organic chemistry ended that passion pretty quickly, though.
Well, you've done a great job, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Dancing with the Devil,
The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes by Michael Rubin. It's a good read. Go out and buy it. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. The sound of gunfire in Ukraine's capital Kiev this morning, where at least 22 more people have been killed in protests. President Viktor Yanukovych and the opposition remain locked in a battle over whether the country's loyalty should be more with Russia or the West. ABC's Matt McGarry is covering the protest in Kiev's Independence Square.
High barricades have been built by protesters over the last weeks and months, just made out of sandbags and bits of wood and trash and anything they can find. And those protesters man those barricades 24 hours a day. They love rocks. They love Molotov cocktails. They shoot homemade rockets.
Police respond with volleys of their own, including at times live ammunition. The recent massive data breach at Target cost banks and credit unions a lot of money. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky with new findings.
The cost of replacing all the credit and debit cards compromised in the Target breach has exceeded $200 million, and the Consumer Bankers Association says that price tag includes none of the costs from fraudulent activity. The historic breach at Target exposed the personal information of tens of millions and flooded underground markets for stolen cards. The Consumer Bankers Association and a dozen other trade groups just formed a cybersecurity partnership meant to better protect consumers.
Retailers are calling on banks to introduce credit cards with PIN codes. Big new purchase by Facebook. It's spending $19 billion to buy WhatsApp, a rapidly growing messaging service that lets people send unlimited messages free using their smartphones.
WhatsApp is huge. It's growing faster than Facebook did at the same stage and is actually twice the size of Twitter.
Nicholas Carlson with Business Insider. An opposition leader in Venezuela facing criminal charges for organizing a rally that set off a week of turmoil. A judge ruled there's enough evidence to hold Leopoldo Lopez. This is ABC News.
Paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This could cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-390-9323 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-390-9323. Call 800-390-9323. That's 800-390-9323. Again, 800-390-9323.
The big retail chain, The Gap, is raising its minimum wage to $9 an hour this year, $10 next year. The clothing retailer says its decision will affect 65,000 workers. In a statement, President Obama praised The Gap for its decision. Your smartphone as your wallet. Soon you may be able to pay using mobile devices to buy things at retail stores without using your credit card.
The idea of doing more things with a phone is very compelling to consumers, and payment's one of them.
That's James Anderson of MasterCard, who says that there's cloud-based technology being developed, making it easier for shoppers to spend money using their phones. Security is important.
Every transaction requires a consumer to enter a PIN number before they actually tap at the terminals.
And this is far from the only innovation. Many other companies are jumping into the growing field of payment apps and devices. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Your one blood donation can help save the lives of up to three people. Make a difference in the lives of others. Give blood to the American Red Cross to help hospital patients. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org today.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, just in time for the auto show.
Now is the best time to drive a Ford, especially the 2014 F-150. Built with the power to get the job done and the fuel economy that can't be beat. Online at drive1ohio.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
This is Henry Nemens, inviting you to shop Nemens IGA on the square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemens IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemens Bakery makes all cakes from scratch, the very best Italian bread in town. Nemens IGA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemens IGA.
Listen.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, your love is too. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, I said. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, your love is too.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm in the studio with Mark Manchi. I want to thank Michael Rubin. He is the author for Dancing with the Devil. And as I said, I'm not, you know, I'm as a talk show host, you read a lot of things, and you read them for content, you read them for information. And when you're not working, you are probably reading something that's totally different.
Passion on the Beach.
I don't do novels. I don't do novels. They drive me nuts, but I am reading something, you know, a little bit different.
Yeah. What are you reading, Trace?
I read more religious material. I read more,
okay.
You know, my downtown is more self-improvement.
There we go.
I'm big on reading my Bible, big on reading things that are going to be more spiritual-based. I love Watchman Nee. So, who was a Chinese prisoner for his beliefs in Christianity? So I read that kind of stuff, and so that's my personal reading. Everything else is for work. And when you read certain books like this one, it gives you the insight to go and research more information, because unless you were a political science major, unless you were a history major, you probably skip past most of the stuff that is in there when it comes to it. And so you listen to them talk, you pay attention on the peripheral, on the shallow edge. You just skim the top, and it's okay, this is what it is. And the digger I deep, the more water I get to. And I'm finding out that we need to dig deeper, and this kind of book gives you that kind of insight. And so
that's kind of good for me. You know, I was talking with you during the break over here. You know, my undergraduate degree is political science with an emphasis in foreign policy from Ohio State. I'm also a quarter short of my master's degree in Russian history, which is really interesting. And I'm watching what's going on in the world right now, particularly in Kiev and in Ukraine. And for a lot of folks in this country, that's probably, you know, Ukraine's a name that they've heard, usually with the in front of it, as in the Ukraine, drives Ukrainians crazy because there's no the in front of its name. It's just Ukraine. But it has been a battleground for East-West for more years than most people alive can remember, going back hundreds of years. I was in Kiev when the Soviet Union collapsed, And we watched them take down from their parliament building the Soviet flag and raise the Ukrainian flag. It was one of the most stirring things I can remember witnessing in my lifetime. And the Ukrainians and the Russians don't get along. I mean, they don't have a good history. It's bad. You watch what's going on right now. When Ukraine was sucked into the Soviet Union, they sent in the troops, famine in Ukraine, and millions of people died. So the stuff that you see going on over there has great meaning for a lot of people, Ukrainians in particular, who have family in the United States. And you watch what's going on, you got to understand the politics. If you want to know what goes on in foreign policy, look at a map. That's what you got to do. Get out a map. And you the fight there right now is Ukrainians, after being under the yoke of the Soviet Union, don't want to ally with the Soviet Union. They want to ally with Europe, the European Union. Unfortunately, the gas by which they heat their house comes from Russia, and the pipes go right across Ukraine into the European Union. And Putin, who's been emboldened by a very weak United States for the last 5 years, is telling them, here's what's going to happen. You do what we want, we'll give you money, and we won't shut off your gas. You don't do what we want, baby, it's cold outside. And this is very simple, base stuff, but it has enormous consequences to the prestige of Europe and the prestige of the United States and the well-being of the Ukrainian people. And so it's not something far away that what do we have to do with it, folks? We have a lot to do with it. And that's
the question. And that's how a lot of people view this. What's it have to do with me?
It has to do with maintaining American hegemony in the world right now. If you're going to take the political point of view that we don't want to be the world's policeman, I'm going to agree with you to a degree. I got two words for you, Neville Chamberlain. And you look what happened when Britain and France did this with Germany back in the 1930s. We have interests all over the world. And the biggest interest we have is not having nuclear bombs fall on our cities and blow us up. And you cannot prevent that through weakness. It has to be you prevent that through strength.
You know that's a good thing. We go to ball games. We live life. We go to school. We go to work. We come home. And the most that we complain about right now is about the weather, the sun coming out, snow going, all that kind of stuff. But as far as us having to complain about our safety and looking up at skies being green, hoping things are not going to fall on us just out of the blue. We don't too much worry about that. And I don't think we understand how blessed and privileged we are.
You can't take for granted peace in the world. That's nothing to take for granted.
We do every day.
Yeah, peace in the world is earned. It's not given because there's bad people everywhere. So do I think, for example, that Iran is going to come bomb the United States? No, I don't. Do I think that North Korea is going to come bomb the United States? No, I don't think so. But here's what I think can happen, and I think it's going to come from North Korea. They can smuggle these weapons to terrorists, and therein lies the danger.
Because Kim Jong-sung, Young-Yu.
Yeah. He killed his uncle and fed him to the dogs.
Kid Young-Yu.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to go back to our previous discussion, but I'm very, very interested, and I like hearing foreign policy. Reading it is just difficult because there's a lot you need to know what you're reading.
Right.
And that's something about when you're talking about you've got to know. So that you can actually critically think while you're reading about anything that has to do with foreign policy, you have to know a foundation of it because you don't want somebody telling you something that is not factual,
right?
And that is not true,
right?
You just can't pick it up and read it. Just like when I read things that are spiritual, I have to have a foundation in my Bible so that I can know whether it is in alignment with what I believe or not.
That's why you're, as one of your guests said when I was here, you're an elegant lady of God.
I paid them to.
That's a nice sweater you're wearing, too. I like
you.
That.
Thank you. This is probably older than me and you slammed together.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and everything old's new again, man. It comes
absolutely.
Back in.
Absolutely. And, it's, you know, I'm a collector. I have issues. I have issues.
You're not a pack rat, are you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But I'm working on it.
You're not one of those hoarders. I mean, if I walked into your house, can I climb? Is there a path, or do I have to climb over a box?
Depends on where you walk.
Okay.
Now you can walk. You can walk anywhere upstairs.
Yeah.
But when you go to the dungeon,
come to my house.
The dungeon. Dungeon has its own personality.
Yeah, we've got three generations of furniture in our basement.
We're waiting for it to become new again.
These people kept dying and everything ends up in my basement. I don't know what to do.
We're making sure that it comes new again.
And we found a new place, though, my son's attic.
You wouldn't dare.
Yeah, we did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did. I said, got no more room in the basement, so now we've kind of, you know, expanded into my son's attic. That's where all my mother's stuff is in my son's attic. She's got dishes and glasses and silverware and silver and stuff, boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff.
I keep getting calls from overseas numbers.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know these people. And when I answer the phone, they don't answer back.
I don't know. I wouldn't answer them. I'd be a little bit
afraid. I don't.
Afraid.
I only answered one, but I just want to know, why do they keep calling me?
Well, somebody got your number. I was getting some phone calls at my office from somebody who threatened to kill me. It was not fun. That wasn't good. I called the police. The police thought I was nuts. How did I know they weren't sitting in the parking lot across the street watching?
So I have to go and give Mark an apology. I stand to be corrected.
What I do?
You are right. Mark knows everything.
Mark knows
Jeff,
it all.
Jeff, Mark knows it all.
Yeah.
Jeff knows everything.
Yes, Jeff knows everything. I know more than Jeff does, but that's okay.
Because Comcast does own NBC.
Yes.
Not ABC.
ABC's Disney owns ABC, and Disney is its own
Disney owns
media
ABC.
Company. Yeah. And
but
CBS.
There was talk at one time, and or Time Warner, they were all merged together.
Oh,
either
yeah.
They were all in bed. They were all swinging at one time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Time Warner owns CNN.
So if Comcast buys Time Warner.
If Comcast, all right, yeah, buys Time Warner. No, they're going to buy Time Warner Cable. Time Warner Cable is different than Time Warner Media Company.
Okay.
Time Warner Cable stand alone. They spun it off. It's a standalone corporation.
Are you sure, Mark?
Yes.
That's not what I'm reading here.
Yeah. No, Time Warner is that's the media company in New York. They got the big building up on Washington
Right.
Square.
Right. So they buy Time Warner Cable.
Yeah,
I'm writing this here.
Yeah, Time Warner Cable.
Will they still own HBO?
Yes.
Will they still own Turner Broadcasting?
No. The guy, you've got me confused. Because all the, you know, Time Warner was a big conglomerate. It owned HBO, it owned CNN, it owned a cable company, and it owned AOL, or AOL owned it. AOL bought them out. Then AOL went belly up, sort of, and Time Warner spun them off, and now AOL's doing extremely well. But now
Time Warner Inc. owns HBO, Turner Broadcasting.
Yes.
And Warner Brothers Entertainment and Time Inc.
Yes.
Is that the one we're talking about?
No, we're talking about Time Warner Cable. It's different.
Is that the cabling company?
It's like the cable company, like Armstrong Cable or Comcast.
So now, well, Comcast will own the distributor of the cabling company. Of the
yes,
cable company.
They're buying the cable company. They're buying the cable business.
But not the media business.
Not the media business. Time Warner, there's two Time Warner.
So that's not too bad. At least they won't own the content.
You know, it's kind of like Coca-Cola. There's Coca-Cola company, then there's Coca-Cola bottling. They're two different companies.
So at least they won't own the content.
No, they won't own the content.
My concern was I thought they were buying Time Warner, and that was all together, and that was they were going to own the content that went with it.
They will own one-third of all the cable houses in the United States.
That is a nice chunk.
That's a nice chunk, and they own NBC. So when you get to be that big, you start to be able to dictate what media you're going to put through your pipes. You know, the cable industry's got major problems right now. It's a declining industry in this country. The membership to cable is going down and going down. I just got a notice from my cable company. Cable's going up. Basic cable's going up to $67 next month.
Huh?
Yeah, and you get, and that's the problem. People can go online now. There's more places they can go. They can go to DirecTV. They can go to Dish. But more importantly, they started to go to Google Television, Netflix, all of these places and buy, get the content.
You can go direct to CBS now.
Yeah, yeah. And get the, well, your local channels, you can get, just put the antenna up. It's the same thing. You can get a high-definition antenna, and I have a high-definition antenna.
You got a converter.
Yeah, and you put it up there, and ba-ding, you've got your local stuff for free. In fact, you can get something like, I think I tried it. I have one television at home that I do this with, and I think I get 12 channels on there just for putting up the antenna. Which is, you know, pretty good when I've got it in a spare room and I don't want to run a cable line there. But you know, it's just a whole different industry. But what gets me is NBC will in effect have a direct access into 1/3 of the houses. And you know what the NBC political policy is. So while we were talking about all this stuff with the FCC and the government intrusion now getting into media rooms to find out what they're broadcasting and why, they are going to be looking at Fox News. They're going to be looking at Rush Limbaugh. They're going to be looking at you.
They're not going to look at me.
No, yeah, they will look at you. They'll come over there. Who's making the decision over here? And they won't look at NBC or CBS or CNN or ABC because they're politically correct. They're broadcasting the right stuff. What they want is the people who are broadcasting the wrong stuff. And the wrong stuff is anything that broadcast that disagrees with the current administration. And this is not just a Obama thing. McCain-Feingold was even worse. And when the Supreme Court overturned McCain-Feingold on this effort to regulate political speech, what we got were super PACs. So what, you know, it's a direct result of the overreach of the government. And this is going to happen all again. We need to be vigilant. Freedom is precious, and it's being eroded day by day.
Diva, your mic is on, and so is yours, Stanley. I don't think people don't realize that this is the problem. People don't know they're free. And so since they don't know they're free, they don't know that their freedoms are being taken away.
They just kind of go about their daily lives. They just.
But people don't realize that they're free, and because they don't realize they're free, they don't see their freedoms being taken away because they never realized that they were free indeed.
Well, they just assume that things are the way they're going to be all the time. It doesn't work that way, folks. You're going to wake up one day, and you're going to be in big, big trouble. And if they can do it to these, you know, the thing about the government is that as long as they're doing it to somebody else, who cares? Because it's not my problem. The number one rule of government is, if they can do it to them, they can do it to you. And one of these days, they will do it to you.
And see, that's why when we were talking about President Obama earlier about and what's going on now with the FCC and having bureaucrats in the newsroom, yeah, don't drop it, Mark, because if you drop that phone, they won't replace it with another BlackBerry like that.
I know. That's my antique.
I know. Okay, so and when I say this, you know, when I look at the nuclear option inside the Senate, everybody's happy because they haven't seen it work against them. But now that you've opened the gate, you're gonna get something's gonna come across that you're not gonna be able to, you're not gonna like, and you're gonna be upset that it was changed in 2013, and it's gonna be in the future.
If this were George Bush's administration coming forward with this FCC thing, it would be front page. They'd be screaming for his impeachment.
Because let me ask this, because I said this yesterday.
And I'm screaming for Barack Obama's impeachment. He's got to go.
He's not going, Mark.
I know that.
We keep telling you he's not going.
I don't think he's going to last
a
year.
Mark, you keep on having wish. If you keep on saying it, you're hoping that it will come true. I'm telling you.
When you wish upon a star.
No, he's not going anywhere. I don't think you realize that. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
But what is happening is America is still asleep.
They got to wake up sooner or later.
They're still asleep. They can't. When they wake up,
I thought the IRS would do it. That didn't do it. This may do it.
This won't do it. And it's like waking up in a coma. And if you hear the words that I said, it's like waking up in a coma.
Yeah. Sooner or later, you got to get up to go to the bathroom.
Not
especially
if you're in a
coma. An aging prostate.
That's why they have. That's why they have catheters. I'm serious. That's what's going on.
I just drank, you know, a big cup of coffee. I'm in trouble.
And Jeff, your mic's on also. I just don't think we quite understand it. I don't think, and we're not being told it, and we are so lulled asleep. We're like in a deep sleep.
In a deep sleep. They live in a, I don't understand the defense of this man. Look at what he's doing from the people who were the child children, the flower children of the 1960s. Look at what he's doing to you.
Mark.
He's in bed with the banks.
Did you hear about Ted Nugent last night?
No.
I'm trying to pull the clip up. Ted Nugent, and I had to pull up the song because I couldn't figure out what song he was. He is on the campaign trail somewhere in Texas.
Okay.
And he called President Obama a non-human, a subhuman mongrel.
Whoa. Have they come to arrest him yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's on the campaign trail for the governor of, the governor, guy who's running for governor, candidate for, that's running for governor of Texas.
In Texas, okay.
Yes. Now, Ted Nugent is
that's not that babe that's causing all the trouble down there.
No.
Okay.
No, Ted Nugent is a, he is a, he's a rock star from the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
I couldn't remember what song he did, so I pulled it up. Said, oh, rock star, you know, cat scratch fever. That's who you are. Well, now, do we understand that the issue is not with what they called him? The issue is what President Obama's doing. You can talk about me all you please, but what are you doing? And so the main news last night was about Ted, what's his name?
Ted Nugent.
Cat scratching his fever about Obama, but not dealing with the FCC and what's going on across our nation.
Yeah.
If the man wants to call him a flying flip, call him that. 626, your mic is on.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that Ted Nugent thing. I think that's more of a clear example of what's going on in politics than the FCC. Because the thing with the FCC you guys are talking about, that seems like it's old news. Like you could put that on the headlines and people would think that was you're talking about something that happened in the 80s or the 90s. Like people have been talking about that mergers and Media Corp, like it used to be that newspapers couldn't own like a newspaper and a television and a radio in the same town or something like that. That's been overturned and media merged so much that you would think that everything was right now just owned by Rupert Murdoch and nothing else. So it's like, I don't see anything new on that. That's like a...
I mean, why don't you see anything new on that? Because the difference is, I mean, if it continues to go on, why do you still accept it going forward?
Because we didn't accept it in the first place, right? So we didn't accept it...
Yes, you did.
40 years ago.
You accepted it.
And we didn't accept it 30 years ago. We didn't accept it...
You accept it now.
20 years, 10... Now is this old news. We're still trying to fight this situation that went on with the deregulation back in the, you know, during the Reagan era. The whole thing.
Baby, get your facts right. Oh, no.
We're so out of,
get your,
I'm sorry,
oh,
so
no,
out
Paulina
of,
man, get your facts right. That happened during the Clinton administration.
Well, what I'm saying, we're so out of juice on that fight. There's no more fight left.
What do you mean there's no more fight left?
Isn't the media owned by Viacom or Rupert Murdoch? Anyway,
it's owned by everybody, but the question is, why are you still allowing this to happen?
It's pointless. It's a pointless argument. We're dealing with stuff that matters.
Tell me what matters.
The Ted Nugent of the world.
That doesn't matter.
We're burying babies. We're burying black babies, and white juries are
that does not matter.
People grow. That matters. That's what matters.
Whoa, wait. Hold on. You mean to tell me a shooting down in Florida matters more than you having a controlling of your media by one conglomerate?
What I'm trying to tell you is,
why does that matter? Who cares? The reason why we got black boys dying in the street is because we haven't taught them how to fight for themselves with their brain and not their brawn. That's why. It's our fault. We've got to take some responsibility for what goes on in our community. And we want to sit down and talk about the white man having his foot on our neck and how we can't get along and he shot somebody. But we will not take responsibility. We will not be proactive. And that's just crazy.
Yeah, I think you want to take responsibility. I don't agree with that. You don't. We do. That's a different story. You and us are different. We're not on the same team. So you're talking about what you guys do, and I'm talking about what we do. We're not on the same team, Tracy.
And Tracy, wait a minute. Good morning, Tracy. I'm sorry. If a white person comes and just because he's afraid has the right to take a gun and shoot a black person, I'm sorry. That's his fault. That's nothing to do with black
person. Stanley, listen to what I said, sweetie. No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. What I said was, it is our responsibility to make sure it doesn't happen.
How could it be my responsibility when, let's say I'm driving through, he didn't provoke them, he didn't say anything,
Stanley,
that the white dude decided
Stanley,
to take a gun and kill him. He did
because
that.
You don't, Stanley, because the media has told them that black people are irrelevant.
I don't care
that's
if the media
happened.
Told you that. That doesn't
you,
give you the
you,
right
Stanley,
to.
You, that gave you that gave him a right. Because
wow.
That's Tracy's world.
Wow.
She's talking about.
Wow.
Tracy,
that gives you the right now.
Tracy's
the
Secret
basic,
Service. Did
you
Tracy's
miss what I
Secret
said?
Secret Service for the white supremacy.
Did you hear
she's
what I said? No, sweetie. No, Colina,
yes,
man. Listen to what I said. The media have given a perception that black life is not important because you
correct.
Have allowed
okay,
them
right
to
there.
Do that. Okay, stop. Am
no,
I right?
No, I didn't allow them to do nothing.
You
I don't
did
control
allow
them.
It.
Remember,
you do
I mean,
allow
I don't
it.
Own
you watch
Viacom.
Television.
I don't own.
You
oh, my
do.
Gosh. Because
you
I watch
give them money every day. You don't
because
see
I watch television.
Yes, because you watch television. Yes, because
nothing,
you do what you do.
Nothing
yes.
could have stopped what happened in Florida. I mean, nothing could have stopped that. I mean, you can't
no,
pass a law.
You miss my, listen to what I'm saying. You can pass a law. Nothing would have stopped it happening, Eric, but listen to what I'm saying. We allowed our media agencies to tell you that we were thugs. We allowed them to make us to become something that we're not. Do we not see how the media has played into the perception of black America? Am I missing this? Do you guys not see this? That everybody's supposed to be scared of a man that's black because he's black, based upon what they've seen over the years of conditioning inside of the media? And they continue to show
and
it that
they
way?
They continue to show it that way.
Do you not understand that? Your media has done that to you?
Two things happen with that. When you have media portraying certain people certain ways, you've got two things going on, both of which are bad. The first is the person who is being portrayed. If there's somebody like them watching it on television, they're going to use that as a role model. The second thing is that when somebody who is not the person being portrayed looks at it. They're going to assume after a period of time, like years and years and years and years, that the perception is
correct. Reality.
It's reality. And that's not the case. And the media is served by perpetuating these kinds of fallacies.
And we don't see it. And what they've done is they've demonized a group of people based on a perception that is not real. And then you sit up there and tell me that it's not true.
Tracy,
you're wrong
that we haven't talked about it. Don't you know that black folks have been talking about
white media control
for the longest?
We've been talking about a whole lot of stuff. We ain't been doing black crap
for a
whole lot of years.
Black folks ain't been doing nothing but
sitting on their laurels waiting for somebody to come by and save us instead of us going out and getting
that's
it for
your
ourselves.
Black people.
That's
your black people. That's your black GOP
no, that's
people.
That's the black
that's
community.
Speak
but I know
yourself.
Out of here.
I'm speaking to you.
You ain't doing nothing.
I'm talking to Covina Man.
I'm talking to anybody that is of a hue of African-American, black, Negro, and or anything else, colored, whatever you want to call yourself today. It is our fault that we allow the disrespect of white people in America, and we have done it to ourselves in a lot of ways.
Hey, Tracy, now Obama said he got a phone and he got a pen. I thought he didn't call down to Florida and make some changes to those laws down there, you know?
He can't because
yeah,
it's not
sure
the big he cannot. He can't do
that.
That's not how it works.
White people do not control Florida.
Folks.
This is a matter of life or death right now. White folks are passing laws to kill black folks and return the juries back to their
And
gym.
You don't get involved in the process. If you don't like the law, change it. Didn't you hear my rant last week? You sit back waiting for somebody to come and save you, and you've got to go out and do it for yourself. And if you don't know how the president cannot, with a stroke of a pen, change the law in Florida or any other state in the union. He doesn't have that kind of power. But if
you
went to school and learned how the states have its own power, you would know that.
Right. That man was going to carry that gun that night no matter what.
Even so, what happens to the other boys that die every night? And we won't change the laws. He should have known how to fight. And yes, he might have gotten killed. But we still are not fighting this as proactively. We're not doing it. And that's a problem. Ted Nugent, who cares if he called him a mongrel? I'm not looking to Ted Nugent for my affirmation of being an African-American black person in here. That's Ted Nugent's opinion. He's allowed to have free speech. Speak on. At least I know how you feel about most black folks.
And yeah, why are we so sensitive? So what, he said that. Get over it. Like I tell my daughter all the time, everybody's not going to like you. Get over it, move on, and make something out of your life, period.
There's a reason why that is, man. There's a reason why you care why Ted Nugent, because Ted Nugent is on the jury. Ted Nugent is the one who's voting in the governor. Ted Nugent is the one who controls the laws. Black folks
he's
not controlling those
man.
Laws. I'm
he's
just saying.
Hold on. How is Ted Nugent controlling the law?
Listen to what I'm saying, dude. Ted Nugent fits the targeted demographics of the people they're trying to motivate to vote. So that's who's controlling, right? Black folks aren't the ones that's going to vote in the governor of Texas or Florida or wherever. It's white folks that's going to do that. So Ted Nugent is organizing white folks who think like him, who think that black people are mongrels. Who think they're subhuman mongrels. They're going to go out there and pass laws that say, well, this is how you treat subhuman mongrels. You pass
and
laws.
This is how black people
think.
Don't be surprised.
And then, I'm almost done. Then once you have the laws passed, then we just stack the jury with the other carbon copies of Ted Nugent and put them on a jury and let people go.
Listen,
now
I'm taking
done.
A break.
That's why that's important. The Secret Service for white supremacy right here on this channel.
Healthcare, our professional and care.
Tracy's a mess.
You know it's bad when you got to fight with other blacks just to get them to understand.
These pathetic GOP defenders. There's always some idiot black dude that show up and try to defend the GOP. I don't care about Ted Nugent. But he showed on. I know how he feel about you. You're a subhuman mongrel, and they want to shoot you and put somebody on jury and let them go. Damn idiot. They have the damn Secret Service protecting white supremacy, just jump in front of any bully. Somebody say something, I don't care about them. Let me tell you, I'm going to dodge that way. I'll take the bullet.
People like Ted Nugent, Sabu, of this world, that keep the perception that Michael Dunn had when he came in contact with Jordan Davis.
Exactly.
Like him and then. And then they act like we're not doing anything, we haven't been saying anything. What have you been doing? What have you been saying? I mean, because truth be told, this radio station does not really reach out to black America all that much, at least not the black communities in inner cities, the ones that she says she's trying to make a change with. This is really talking to white people. And you're talking, and some of them might have the mindset of Ted Nugent. And then you're sitting up here, and then you're really making them okay with the things that they say they do and their perceptions.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't mean to. But that's what you do.
And she always talking about, we do this and we don't do that. That's not the we do. We're talking about, that's not me. She's talking for her.
I'm sorry, but I've never seen black people just sit down and just take it. I've never seen that. But the fact of the matter is, what more can we do? If we don't have the power, what can we do?
Right, and but she's a contradiction. On one instance, she's saying that we ain't doing something, that we're not doing, and in another instance, saying that we're supposed to go out there and change the law.
That's what you should be doing. And the thing is you don't do it for two things. You don't ever get excited until a white liberal tells you to. And then that's the whole thing. You don't think about it. That's why we're in the terrible shape we are, because they have run our communities for the past 60 years, 50, 60 years, and then we're complaining about the white man. And you are giving the white man the rule over you.
But it is not the white liberal that has the perception that we are mongrels. Because Ted Nugent is not a liberal.
Wait a minute.
Ted Nugent is as conservative as you can get.
Diva, hold on. That was his statement about himself.
But that is...
That is his statement about himself. That's why a man used it. He said, we're all sort of mongrels. Don't you remember that?
So he said some disgusting
stuff.
Don't
you remember him saying that?
He has said some disgusting stuff about President Obama previously. He has called him a mongrel. He has called him a Neanderthal. Everything under the sun but the child of God. He has called that man.
You really believe there's no white liberals that feel that way?
No, I'm not saying that there are no white liberals that feel that way. But you don't hear white liberals saying that. I don't hear white liberals, those who proclaim to be true liberals, truly want to promote justice, freedom, and equality in this country. You don't hear them saying stuff like that.
So they can think that you're a jigaboo and need to go back to Africa, but as long as they don't say it out loud, that's okay.
No, it doesn't. No, it's not as long as they don't say it out loud. The fact is, I don't know who's. If I don't know you're saying it, then I can't say anything about it. But you guys always blame stuff on the white liberals.
Hold on, Diva. Diva, hold up.
That are really getting on my nerves right now.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Diva. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. I don't know what you guys. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hi. I'm back. I was talking with Karina. Man called in, and I brought up the Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent is a former rock star, if you don't know who he is, and he did Cat Scratch Fever back in the 70s and 80s. And he called President Obama a, let me get it right, he called him a subhuman mongrel. And that's not the best selection of words that I would have used, but he did, and now you know how he feels. And we were talking about the FCC. Karina Man, you know I will mute you, so why? And it's not about how people feel about people. People have the right to say what they choose. And why we get into this sensitivity, you hurt my feelings, I want all black, white people to like me because they do, and they're so, you know.
Yeah, like, come on,
what?
Give me a break.
Why
give me a break,
man. Listen, I'd rather you to come out and call me the N-word. At least I know how you feel.
than for you to sit down and smile at me, have a Coke and a smile, and then stick me in the back. But
come
now we got to get everybody got to get along. No, you don't.
How he feels. That's not the point. The point isn't
the point
how he
is,
feels.
You listen.
Yeah,
listen
how he feels.
Why? Listen. You don't know how a man feels based upon you seeing him because he's white.
That ain't what I said. I said we know how he feels. But we know how
why
he feels.
You,
that's not the point of
how
he feels and what he said.
Wait a minute.
We heard him before.
I'm not talking to you because you're just stupid.
Well, call
Kavita, like
man. Why don't you call him up and tell him, Kavita, man? Why don't you call Ted Nugent up and talk to him? Call him out. Put him on blast. You can call me an idiot. You call Tracy an idiot. Why don't you call him an idiot?
He can't call him an idiot because...
I really don't talk to racist white folks. There's no point of it. There's no point of arguing.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to call people that are trying to make a difference idiots, but I will talk to racist white people. That's what you call bass awkward. And the thing is you don't put things in perspective, and you don't face things off. And that's why you never get anywhere. You're making stupid statements, and then you expect people to buy your statement when you have nothing to support it. And you still go and vote for white Democrats thinking, well, they're no better than the Republicans. And it's stupid. It's just plain stupid. You're not playing a game. You're being played.
Right. Call Ted, call Rush Limbaugh, call Glenn Beck, call Sean Hannity, all these racists, and call them out and put them on blast. You don't do that.
No, this is an issue that I have, when I said, and it's a good conversation in reference to the media has shaped the minds of how people view you.
Hey, Trace.
Hey, Jeff.
How
I
you
called
doing?
Somebody stupid today.
I understand. I'm rubbing off on you. I'm a good influence on you. I'm sorry. Let me say this to you. Let me read this real quick. This is a statement in 2010, July of 2010. President Obama waded into the national race debate in an unlikely setting with an unusual choice of words, telling daytime talk show hosts that African Americans are sort of a mongrel people. Now, why in the living H-E double hockey sticks would he do that? And why are we going to get all our mammary glands in a ringer? Okay. Why are we going to do that when he said it himself and about every black person in the United States? So,
that wasn't on the news. They didn't tell that part.
Oh, this show was. It was on prime time news. I watched
that's
on CNN.
That's different because you haven't heard them say them bring that back up again.
Oh,
I
no,
think
they're not
going to
bring it back up again. They won't do that because they'll never, ever cross their own self and correct themselves because it doesn't matter about that. What matters is that their goal, their lofty goal, is to take care of people. People don't need taking care of. I don't want you to take care of me. Get the hell out of my life. I want to take care of myself. Leave me alone so I can do it.
The thing is, before I got muted for the fifth time today, the thing I was trying to tell you was I don't talk to racist white people. That's up to you. That's the people in your party. That's the people you deal with. You deal with those white people. If you want to change that, that's up to you. I'm not there to
He said there's no racist white people in his party. That's what he said, right?
I don't have a party. I don't belong to no party.
Yeah, right.
Jeff, he said there was no racist white. He doesn't talk to racist white people. He doesn't go to the store. He doesn't go. Yes, Mark.
Listen.
You've just lost your mind.
I just, you know, I sit and I listen to this stuff. Here's the facts. Whether anybody likes it or not, or whether your listeners like it or not, or whether I like it or not, things in life are not always framed in issues of race. Sometimes people make comments just because they're political in nature and there's things going on that have nothing to do with race. And if everybody keeps looking at it in the context of race, we've got big problems. The welfare of this country is for the whole, not for the whites, not for the blacks, not for Indians or Native Americans, whatever we're supposed to politically call, politically correct names for people, that we've been segmented out over and over and over again to the point where it's become unbearable, we're in trouble. because the well-being of the nation applies to everybody in it.
You
can look at it and you can say it's racist. But when you make a political comment and say the person that's making that comment is racist, you're wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Okay. C'est bon.
Stanley, your mic is on.
Sorry. Tracy, the problem that I'm hearing for what you're saying is that if a white person would have done the same thing, all hell would have broke loose. If a black person would have took a shotgun or killed a white person just like that in a gas station, all hell would have broke loose.
No, Stanley, it happens every day. I'm looking at an article right now about four people, Tanisha Jackson, Larry Johnson, Rashawn Johnson, and Keyshawn Lake. They went out and stabbed, robbed, shot, and burned up some folks in Detroit, some white folks. It doesn't make news.
Yeah, it's on the news. You go on the Internet, you can find reports all over the country about these cases, but they don't report it. It's happening.
We do. I mean, we can't act like we're exempt from one side and we do stuff on the other side. We can't do that because wrong is wrong no matter who does it, white or black. And everything is not racially motivated. But let me say this. When we talk about what's going on with the FCC, what's going on with the censoring of America and the distribution of information and news content, and you tell me that Ted Nugent calling President Obama a mongrel is more important than you know, what's going on there, then we have our priorities misaligned greatly. Because if you want to look at what's going on, the reason why things are going the way they are is because we've allowed the media to shape our perception. And so now you're going to let one person shape the perception of everyone?
So here's what you got. You can't have the government coming in there and telling the media, here's what you're going to broadcast.
Because maybe you might
like the person who's there right now, but I'll guarantee you, you won't like the person that's there 10 years from now.
That's what I was going to say.
This is a dangerous thing, and it affects everybody in the country in a major way. It is the fundamental foundation of our nation, is to be able to have a talk show like this, where callers call in, and we may disagree, but having the discussion is important. And you can't have the government coming in and saying, we don't want you to have that discussion. We want you to have this discussion, or we're going to pull your license. And this is what they want to do. These people and guys and ladies that are listening over here, you may want to view these as black-white issues or racial issues. I will tell you, Barack Obama is not the guy you think he is. He has an agenda that is separate from race, based in political ideology. He was a pampered person who was raised in privilege, he views himself as an internationalist, probably aligning more with folks that are of a different kind of a background than you and I are going to have, and that's fine. But don't look at the color of his skin and say he's one of us, because if you look at what he does, he's not. I keep asking my African-American friends, tell me one thing he's done for the African-American community, just one, and I can't get an answer.
You got one.
Yeah. I may not agree with
what
Ted Nugent, but if he can't say what he speaks his mind, then I can't speak my mind either, and I don't agree with that.
He did a lot for me.
What?
No, I didn't qualify.
I didn't either, actually, Tracy.
I heard he's going to be passing out new radios so y'all can listen to 600 WSOM AM 600.
There we go. Hey, listen, I'm for that.
Sign me up. You know I need one. Sign me up. You know I need one.
I know. That's why I said it. Guys, I mean, we need to understand. I mean, America will never be this symbiotic kumbaya state. It's not going to happen like that. And it's never going to happen. So we need to really – all white people ain't going to like me, and all black people ain't going to like you.
And I don't like all white people, and all white people don't like me.
I don't like all white people.
Y'all got a point there. You know, Jeff's not always – Jeff's going to always know everything, and I'm not going to know anything. And
I like Jeff. Huh? I like Jeff.
Why do you like Jeff?
I like Jeff.
It's black people on my street I don't like.
As a matter of fact, have you looked inside your family lately?
I'll give you a list.
I mean, we really need to understand that you're not going to have this. We go sit together and sing songs. That's a utopian world that's not going to happen until Jesus comes.
The important thing is that we respect each other, respect people for what they are, and you know, Tracy and I, we're kind of in the same business. I do a lot of public relations work and work for various organizations I belong to. I don't like everybody I talk to, but I certainly respect them.
I think you guys are misconstruing the point. It's one thing not to like someone because of maybe some issues you have with that person or the way they act. That's one thing. But then to not like someone solely based on their skin color, your preconceived notions of that skin color, and then try to get away with murder, or create laws that will hinder that person, or create policies that will hinder that person from aggressing in society.
You can't make laws to make somebody like you
different.
Either, Diva.
That's a completely different scenario.
Diva, can I ask you a question?
You can't make laws to make you accept you as a person, Diva. You cannot
it's
do
not
that.
About,
you
no, you're
them.
Right. You can't make laws to make somebody accept you as a person, but they have laws that are created to make us feel like we are subhuman, that people can get away
question,
with
Diva?
Murdering us, that
Diva,
people can create
what?
Policies that will
in,
not
Diva,
allow us to progress.
What? Does Ted Nugent have to do with making a law?
Okay, we can get beyond Ted Nugent, but there are people like Ted Nugent out there that have this preconceived notion of what black means and seeing the black skin and have these
Diva,
ideals
here's the facts
of that
of life,
and make
Diva,
laws
Diva,
and policies
Diva,
based
take a breath,
on
Diva,
what,
Diva, breathe, breathe, Diva. Here's the facts of life. When you go through life, here's how it is. Not everybody's going to like everybody, and there's going to be people who hate
me because
I'm black.
No offense,
Mark. Just like there's people who hate me because of my Italian descent, and I've got that in my own family. So what are you going to do? You're going to crawl under the bed and die? You keep going. You keep going.
Mark,
and,
no
you,
offense,
and you try to make your mark as best you
sorry.
Can.
Sorry, buddy.
The laws that are written can be changed if they work against you, but they are not changed because you talk.
Hold on.
We will never
sit
here.
Okay, so you tell me how they are supposed to go about getting that
tomorrow.
Change
listen, tomorrow,
this.
Diva. Tomorrow, Justice Kennedy is going to be with us at 9 o'clock, and we're going to talk about law and between Mark. And Justice Sharon Kennedy, I'm quite sure we will get a mouthful about law. And we're just going to talk about the academics of the law so that we can get an understanding how laws come into effect, how laws are changed, and how they are interpreted. And what is wrong with us is that we are sitting here barking at the moon instead of actually pulling down the blind. Because we have not learned that if you get up, go to the window, and pull down the blind, the moon will not come in the window. And so you sit there and you bark at the moon thinking it's going to turn out. And it will not turn out that way. I'll be right
it
back.
It amazes me that in your summation, you think black people are just stupid.
Salem,
lame.
Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
That's what I take from that.
Let's talk for a moment about a great
it
doctor.
You don't
Dr.
Have to
Hill at Associates and Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help
words,
you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or
words
questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates and Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
And move on.
All patients receiving prenatal care.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Bitterness and bloodshed in the streets of a European capital this morning. The Interior Ministry in Ukraine says 67 military police have been captured by protesters.
Thank you. I was talking to somebody else. Now, she didn't say that black people were stupid.
She said it all the time. She said it all the time. She didn't imply that this time in her words. I mean, she didn't say exactly this time in her words, but that's what she's implying. Because for her to imply that nobody does anything at all, they may not do it how she wants them to do it, but to say that nobody does anything at all, I'm sorry, I don't know how you can go about gaining petitions, petitioning your, lobbying your congressperson, and lobbying other congresspeople to get that law changed as doing nothing. I mean,
who
well,
did that? Who did that?
You didn't see that. That's what's going on after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Actually, shortly before the Trayvon Martin verdict. That's what they're doing.
Now, here's the thing. Who's doing it, and how effective has it been?
It has not been effective. You want to know why?
Because
you want to know why?
Because
it's a Republican governor, and it's a Republican legislative body, and they're saying that they're not going to overturn that law. But I guess what, I'll tell you what, that old white man get off for killing that white father in that movie theater, let a black person get off for killing a white person, let another black person get off for killing a white person, that law will be changed. If you sit here and say it makes no difference, and you're lying to yourself, and you're trying to lie to me too, and I'm not buying it.
Dina, you're just talking. First of all,
I'm not just talking.
All right.
You know what? Y'all been in that little right wing bubble for so long, you can't even see the reality.
This is where your stupidity comes in. Okay, it's not about right wing. It's about what's right.
No, so you're trying to tell me a person can get off killing somebody just because they perceived that they were dangerous. All they had to do is say, I was scared.
He's going to jail, Diva. He's going to jail.
You don't give a damn that he's going to jail? He practically walked from murdering somebody. And if them boys would not have lived and there were not no other witnesses, he would have walked completely. Do y'all not see that?
No, don't see that. And he declared a mistrial, which means it will be tried again.
I know it can be tried again. I'm not dumb to the law. I know how it works.
The jury was arguing that first-degree murder trial.
All he had to say was he was scared, Jeff. Do you not get that? They bought his self-defense. Three of them jurors bought his self-defense argument that he was scared. There was no gun, no evidence of gun, no one saw a gun, but they bought his argument that he was scared. We know in his heart he knew there was no gun. He made up that story because he knew what he did was wrong. So all he had to do was say he was afraid, and he got off.
Once again, he didn't get off. It was declared a mistrial.
Same difference. To me, that's getting off. To me, that's almost talking.
You keep talking instead of listening.
Because you're trying to talk to me like I'm dumb, like I don't know what a mistrial is.
I didn't follow the case. You obviously don't know what one is.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
I probably know a lot better than you do.
You're going to try him again because a mistrial does not mean you walk. It means you get tried again.
No, Sherlock. The fact that there are three jurors that bought his story and he's about to come up on this all again, I tell you.
Take it up with those jurors, Diva. Take it up with the jurors if you got a problem. Don't take it up with us. Stop yelling and screaming at me and take it up with those people. Just like
I'm not yelling at you, Eric. I'm not even talking to you. I didn't even know you were part of this conversation. I'm talking to Jeff. And I have a problem. I have a problem with black people who tell me, oh, get over it, suck it up, and move on when it comes to race issues. Is everything a race issue? No, it's not. But the ones that I perceive or that someone else perceives to be a race issue, you want to tell us to get over it, suck it up, and move on? Well, imagine if they did that when Martin Luther King was out there. I'm pretty sure there's people who are telling them that. I'm pretty sure there's people telling them long before then, oh, just get over it, move on, suck it up. That's just the way it is. Come on. If everybody had this attitude, we wouldn't be as far as we are now. We have a lot much further to go, but we wouldn't have come this far. The same people you knock it down to Florida trying to fight against that stand your ground law, they may not be doing it how you want to do it, but they're doing something. Same people like you knock down Martin Luther King and an NAACP, and you still knock it down the NAACP. Are they doing everything perfectly? No. But guess what? If not for that group, where would you be? Still sitting on the back of the bus. Still going into blacks-only restaurants. Still going into drinking out of blacks-only fountains.
I agree. I agree with Diva, man. So true. So I'm sorry. I have a problem like Diva that when a black person, a white person could just say, I'm scared of you, that gives me the right to shoot you and kill you.
But
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying,
I have a problem with
that.
I'm sorry. That's not a defense. You're done.
Can just say, start an argument, but because the victim is black, can walk.
I could kill you. I could kill you
I
just because
you.
I got scared
because
you're black.
Because in my mind, now I'm afraid of your black power. Because I'm afraid of your black power because you're overpowering me, and I have this notion that black people are so powerful that when they get in fights, they're going to kill somebody. Oh, I could just pull out my gun and shoot you. Come on. You guys want to sit here and tell us, oh, get over it? It doesn't matter. Ted Nugent calling us mongrels, calling people like Rush Limbaugh, calling people thugs, Richard Sherman a thug because he came off as, you know, his adrenaline kicked off, became a little aggressive. But white people, I mean, and you're saying we're the problem? We're the reason that they're calling us and calling us these names and treating us like this? No, this has been long before media. This has been long before media, this perception has been out there. But now it's media's fault. And now it's our fault because we allow media to do it, but yet we have so much power, but yet we don't have any power. Because if we had the power, stand your ground would never happen. George Zimmerman would never walk. Michael Dunn would have been convicted of first degree murder, and his parents wouldn't have to be going through this nightmare again. And so forth, so forth. And then the black guy in New York, Mr. White wouldn't have had to gone in prison because some white kids came up on his yard and threatening him and his son to kill them, and then he shoots the kid dead, but yet they find him guilty. And that was the castle doctrine. Then that wouldn't even stand your ground. That was the castle doctrine. But a jury of his so-called peers that weren't made up of his peers couldn't understand the fact that he was in fear of his life and his child's life.
Who
so they convicted him
which stories are covered? And then another, have you ever suggested coverage of what you consider a story with critical information for your customers, viewers, listeners, or readers, that was rejected by management? And a TV station in Columbia, South Carolina, is going to be the first to receive that questionnaire, Martha, this spring.
Unbelievable. So what happens if a station says they don't want to answer those questions?
The questionnaire is voluntary, but 16 Republican lawmakers have already signed a letter to the FCC comparing this to the fairness doctrine that started in the late 40s and required that equal time went to both sides of big stories. And one Republican FCC commissioner agrees, and he writes in the Wall Street Journal this, quote, unlike the opinion surveys that Americans see on a daily basis and either answer or not, as they wish, the FCC's queries may be hard for the broadcasters to ignore. They would be out of business without an FCC license, which must be renewed every 8 years. All FCC commissioners are appointed by the president. Only three are allowed to be from any one party. So right now, three are Democrats, two are Republicans. Martha.
What an interesting story. Peter, thank you very much.
Whoa.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's Know-It-All Thursday, and I got Know-It-All and Know-Everything.
I'm so smart I can't stand myself.
And between the two of them, you know, I'm just messed up.
It's really good when Jeff and I are here by ourselves. That's just, you know,
well, you
Nirvana
know,
here.
Opportunity's coming.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Okay, when's that going to happen?
The first week in March.
Oh!
I'm out.
Put it on my calendar and start counting down the days.
Absolutely. You and Jeff can get
six. We're going to have a good time.
You, Jeff, six. All of you guys can have a throw a party. I'm not even going to listen in. Not going to call in. I don't even want a text message. Did you guys play nice during the break?
No.
Just
no.
Checking.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
You got mad at you said that you think all black people are stupid.
No, but I think the majority of African Americans are ignorant.
To me, it seems like you're calling black people lazy and stupid.
I am.
See?
I am. Let me correct what I said. I think the majority of African Americans and black people, they're not stupid. I think they are completely, I think they're politically ignorant and lazy with it. That's a better way to frame it. And you can write that down and quote me as saying that, absolutely. Because
That's why they understand me when somebody tries to rile them up to say it.
Let me say this, Jeff. I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and you fail to realize that there are African Americans in every state legislature across the country. You will probably find very, very few states where you do not have at least one black person inside of their legislative body in all 50 states. Yet there are laws that are being put on the books, and there's no reaction from them, no call of action from them to their constituents before they actually become law. And laws do not just get written today and acted tomorrow and signed by the governor. That's not how laws take place. There is
if
a major
only
process.
You have one black legislator, even if they have constituents.
Shut up. Listen to what I'm saying. One black legislature, what she can do, what he can do, is call me on the phone and say, this law, they're saying that they want to hang all black people. That's how it's supposed to work.
And will that change it?
Yes.
You only got one black person.
Diva,
why are you screaming at me to shut up? You only have one black person in that legislature.
Diva, you are so ignorant, you don't listen. You don't listen. You're supposed to be there with a clarion call saying this is what's happening. And if you're organized enough, you go down there and you shape the legislature into doing what you want it to do based upon your numbers. But it takes organization and it takes process and planning. It is not marching with a dashiki down the street anymore. Well, it's not. And we are politically ignorant. And we're lazy. We're passive, and we're getting ready to die because of it, because we think somebody calling me a Mongol is more important than you changing the laws and making sure that I don't get information anymore. That's why we celebrate Juneteenth, which most people don't even know exists.
Putting the right person to represent you locally in your school board. The children aren't learning a thing, and you are sitting back without putting qualified people on the school board. Just anybody who wants to start in politics goes to the school board first because it's the easiest thing to win. And they control you. Like I can't, because then a man really upsets me because he thinks I am a sellout. But I'm putting my hand into somewhere trying to make change. He's not doing a doggone thing, and he's putting people in office, whether he belongs to the party or not. I've heard him say many times. Well, I have to go with the lesser of two evils.
But why do you care that he considers you a sellout? Shouldn't you not care?
Because that
I don't care.
It's not important that he calls you a sellout. It doesn't matter.
I don't care. You can call me a sellout or a sellout. I don't care what you call me. I've been called worse than that by my own people and less than that by white folks. You can call me what you want. I'd rather for you to call me through my face, hurt my feelings. At least I know who you are. Don't grin at me, smile at me, and act like you're my friend and kill me because I've had friends like that and it doesn't feel very well.
I've been called Uncle Tom so many times.
He's the one who was bothered by it.
It is. Call me Uncle Tom.
It's a compliment to me at this point.
When Carl Bryant came on here and he said that the runaway slave was the most powerful slave there was, and they criticized him, and they were turned in by their own people because he was running away. They told Martin Luther King, don't rock the boat. You need to hate me. I don't care.
Because guess what? They're getting ready to kill all of us because they really don't know who I am unless I put something on my back and say I'm Tracy.
Yeah.
We all look alike.
Most of Martin Luther King's biggest enemies was black people.
And Malcolm X also.
Right. Look at that. If Malcolm X had still started his own sect of Muslims, there would have been a lot of more people becoming Muslims because he at least had an intelligent view of what he was doing and what he was saying. And you have to understand that people have set you to think like you think, Diva, and to think like Covina Man thinks. Why do they do that? Because you can't possibly get out of it. If you think like that, you will never, ever arise above swinging your legs on a dime.
Think like what, Jeff?
Being
like
always
what?
The victim.
That's why I'm over here.
They tell you that you don't have the power to make change. You don't have the power to vote somebody in. You don't have the power to make your own decisions. You can't.
No
you only have. You
didn't have the power. The fact
no,
of the
you
matter
don't
is,
have the power.
You think we don't have any power. Your own words make it seem like we don't have
Diva.
Any power because we don't
Diva,
do things
Diva.
The way you want them to be
Diva.
Done.
Diva, if you had power, okay. You'd make legislative change.
Right.
Well, where's your power? You're the one. You're. All I hear is you telling people to do this, telling people to do that. Where are you making legislative change at? Where's your power?
Diva, I'm
going to
answer that question for you. Because Tracy.
No, I want Tracy to answer the question. I don't want anybody else. I want to speak for herself.
Diva, take a breath. Take a breath. You know, Tracy has become one of the most influential people
Lord
in the Republican
Hammer.
Party, certainly here in Mahoney County and in the state. Now, she did that on her own. She did that in the face of adversity. She did that in the face of personal challenges. She did it in the face of societal challenges. And she came forward, and she's made a name for herself. And I know people that say bad things about her, and she knows people that say bad things about me, and we don't care.
I asked her what name she made. I didn't ask
her
to tell me what name she made for herself.
Diva,
I know she made a name
Diva,
for herself. I asked
Diva,
her to tell me what
Diva,
changes have she's enacted in
Diva,
the state of Ohio that makes
Diva,
black that will affect
Diva,
the black community.
Diva, have you looked at the common sense initiatives by have you looked at common sense initiatives by the governor of the state of Ohio?
Say
law,
again.
Common sense initiatives, laws that make people go back to work so that you can make sure that if you want to become a barber and you're a felon. You can become a barber still, or if you want to become a truck driver, you can become a truck driver still, or lightening up the sentences so that you can get your sentences expunged. Have you read some of those laws? Did you know anything about those?
No, I did not.
Well, you need to read some more. You need to know that the governor of this state, he has now almost got, Jeff, is he at 15% or has he superseded 15% of set aside?
No, he's at 11.5 right now, and by the end of the year, I mean by the middle of the year, should be at about 15%.
And so 15% about for minority set-asides in the state, yet.
Do you know who what was under the previous governor?
15% of what?
No, it was 2%.
2% of all the contracts.
Government contracts.
So all government contracts in the state for
hey, government, okay.
Go to minority services.
$86 million to black businesses that live and work in the black communities.
Okay, are you saying you, Tracy Winbush, you
yes.
are you
yes.
are a catalyst behind all of this?
Listen, I'm not the. There is no one catalyst behind any of it.
Okay.
You are part of a moving force to make it happen.
Here's the thing,
Absolutely.
Diva. I could tell you that within the, and I'm a partisan, so I'm gonna just talk partisan. Within the Democratic Party, I can't think of one African-American that has more influence right now, at least locally, than Tracy does is an active Republican. Because we don't look at race. We look at accomplishment. We look at self-motivation. We look at personal responsibility. And one person can get more done than a group who just wants to sit back and complain. And they got to stop sitting back and complaining.
And Diva, it's not
about get out and do something.
You don't toot your horn. What you do is you impact change. It's not about Tracy. It's right. about people. It's
yeah.
about getting the process done and making
and,
things
and that's why Tracy does not talk about this very often, and I get angry at her because she doesn't. But I do. And it makes a major difference. She's one of the few people I know that can call up anybody in Columbus and they'll take her telephone call. And there's not a whole lot of people that can do that in both parties. So, you know, it makes a difference.
And, Mark, not only can cause some things to happen because, you know, it's intelligently explained to somebody, hey, this is what's going on. You need to pay attention to this because this is whose ox is getting gored right here, blah, blah, blah. And then have somebody actually pay attention to it and go about trying to make it different.
And let me also say this, and so that people understand, and I don't fall down just on partisan and on race. I just do what I believe is right.
Right.
I do what I believe is right.
Okay,
how is it that you can get media to change the perception of
Black America then, Tracy?
Because I don't – listen, if I had the power of Kathy Hughes, I could make some things happen.
Listen.
You have to understand that. You know, the FCC, we've been fighting to try to get minority ownership for a very, very long time, and the more we fight, the less we get.
That's my point. My point
but you don't
is,
let,
just,
it's because
you, you, think, just, you think nothing. You think because somebody's not fighting, you think somebody's not fighting because you don't see change right away.
Diva,
you think somebody is not fighting because they're not doing it. They're
so,
not doing things
for
your way.
For you to be as smart as you are, you need to recognize my Rolodex reaches further than just the Republican Party.
Okay,
I can call
well,
Kathy.
Again, like
Diva,
I said, if you have all
up.
This power, you're yelling at us. Black people
I'm
to get the media
you.
To change the perception of us, then
Diva,
why don't you lead the charge?
Diva, because I'm trying to tell you, and you don't listen.
All right. Yes, you're trying to tell us, but yet you're
no,
the one
I'm trying to
tell,
no, I'm
part.
Trying to tell you, and you don't listen.
I am listening to you.
No, you don't
but I'm
listen.
Looking up to you,
you
and I'm saying you lead the
and
charge,
you don't
I'll
listen.
Follow you. No,
no,
I'm looking at
you,
you and I'm looking
me.
Up to you, and I'm saying you lead the charge, and I'll follow you. So
Diva,
what are
you
going to do? What is
you
your plan? You're the one with all the power. You're the one
who
make all
following.
The calls.
It's not about following.
My
Thanks,
Rolodex,
Eric.
I'm going to tell you, my Rolodex doesn't be-
Go ahead, Eric. She's just talking.
It's not about following. You stand up for yourself on your own 2 feet. That's the problem with black people. We always need some leader that we got to follow like sheep, and I'm sick of that.
You
know, she's not trying to hear Tracy to follow Tracy. She's steadily fighting her when Tracy's trying to tell her, you're trying to drive a car from the right-hand side of the car. We're not in England. The wheel is over on the left. And so it's ridiculous. And that's what we keep trying to tell you, that you don't know how to play the game, and you don't get anywhere. What did Al Sharpton do for Trayvon Martin, and they still got anniversaries down there of Trayvon Martin remembering Trayvon? What the hell did it give you? Nothing. And that's the part, that's what we're trying to tell people. It's not about marches. They march to increase the peace in our area. It's nothing. That doesn't get anything done. Organize your churches, and if you're going to do that, but you won't follow me because I'm a Republican. But here's the thing: organize your churches. I'll put this out on the radio. I'm hearing myself back.
Hey Jeff, let me jump in here real quick. Let me say this: In the last 12 months, the Democrat Party here. They were jumping up and down about them hating on Beatrice. They couldn't get nothing done. He didn't like them. They didn't like what he was doing. They didn't do anything. So now you have precinct committee races, and I can say this because it's past the filing deadline. I have not seen any organization to change anything about the local Democrat Party, except from the Beatrice camp and the Hannah camp. So what happened to the other people that were disheartened and didn't like what was going on?
Right. You saw nothing happen. They got out there, and we applauded them when they stood up and against the treatment that they got because they didn't want to go with the endorsed.
Jeff, do you have a notebook on a speakerphone?
I was. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, because it was really
okay.
Bad.
I'm sorry. But here it is. The people stood up because of the disparate treatment they got from their party chair. But here it is, 6 months later or 8 months later, you have nothing happening.
All you did was waste the press time.
Right. Nobody ran against him. Nobody openly corrected him or anything. Just forget about it. Why? Because he's a Democrat, and it's okay. Hillary Clinton can say whatever she wants to about black people. Tell you she's a beginning of the a century, the turn of the century, a progressive. Hillary, do you know what a progressive is? See, this is why we do think that people are woefully ignorant. Why are you woefully ignorant? Because the progressives hated black people. Woodrow Wilson hated black people. And she's saying she was a Woodrow Wilson believer. But you don't know that, do you? But we're the ones that the Uncle Talks. See, I can't understand it. Bill Clinton, why didn't you do one for black people, Bill?
Because they didn't ask.
They didn't ask me.
Oh, yeah, Obama would have been driving my car, my chauffeur.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
We've been carrying our luggage, and we've been getting us coffee.
And so when we talk about the media.
He didn't say mongrel.
Go ahead,
he's
Eric.
Not racist, though, you know?
That's right. And he almost called you a mongrel, but he didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, if he's a Democrat,
well,
it's okay.
Play the clip of Obama saying that on the news, that African Americans, we're all sort of a mongrel race here.
That's the way you're described. Your mother was white. Why would it be helpful, or why don't you say, I'm not a black president, I'm biracial?
Well, you know, when I was young and going through the identity crises that any teenager goes through. I wrote a whole book about this.
Yes.
Part of what I realized was that if the world saw me as African American, then that wasn't something that I needed to run away from. That's something that I could go ahead and embrace. And the interesting thing about the African-American experience in this country is that we are sort of a mongrel people.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, will you look? Why'd your jaw drop?
Well, I'm just reading.
What does he know about the African-American experience?
That's my point.
But he called
doesn't know anything about the African-American experience.
He's never been, he's even never stateside. You cannot be black, raised in a White House in Florida, and call yourself have an African have a black experience. It doesn't work that way.
I'm just amazed when I just run out of things to say. Here's from his own word, his own mouth, his feelings.
That's different.
He didn't know what he
was. It's like I can call myself the N-word, and I can call Jeff the N-word, but don't you say it. I am.
You go to Chicago.
And Diva, just so that you know, when it comes to media, I've been a part of a black owners consortium for quite some time now. The reason why we're not getting anything is because, like I said, we're ignorant and we're lazy and we don't know how to play the game. And we don't have the power. And we send people to Congress and to the legislature and they take on the title of caucus. But no one knows what the word caucus means and how to make it function. So your Congressional Black Caucus is a nice tea party that sits within your Congress, but they have no power.
It's like when the NAACP told black people to protest the voter ID law by showing up with an ID. I mean, that's what...
They did do that, didn't they?
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Totally ineffective, right?
What's wrong with that?
Oh God!
You
got
to have
nothing.
An ID to get in. As a matter of fact, I'm giving out tickets next week, and I want you to bring an ID to the station to pick up your ticket.
That's right.
Don't worry about it. But you don't have the sense. They don't believe that you have the sense enough that you can go out and get your own ID.
So, Trey, why didn't they have a rally? Why didn't they have a rally to not only protest the law, but to make sure that anybody that didn't have one gets one. And they go, it's too difficult. Some people can't do it. If they can't get it, they can get an identification. A state ID is as good as a driver's license. They go give you every excuse in the world. They could have rallied and bought people that didn't have IDs, those that couldn't afford it. Remember we offered that on the air a couple of years ago?
Yes, and I didn't get a call either.
We didn't get a single call. We said, find me somebody and that doesn't have an ID, and I will buy their ID for them. Right.
I went to get a post office box. My wife went to get a post office box a couple of weeks ago, and she could not get a post office box unless she produced a photo ID plus one other piece of identification that could not be a credit card that had her address on it. And they suggested either a passport or your insurance card for your car. Otherwise, you can't get a post office box.
That's right.
Social Security card's not accepted. Social Security
they accepted
card
mine for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah, just last year when we opened up for summertime. But that was the only other thing I had in my wallet.
You're lucky because if you go and you look at the website about getting, because I couldn't believe that she didn't have her insurance ID card. She had credit cards, but she had nothing else but her driver's license. So we had to
go home and come back tomorrow.
We had to go down and get a voter ID card from the Board of Elections.
Well, I'm glad you came down to see us.
And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is what you have to go through to get a post office box? Where's the outrage about that?
Well, that's different.
That's different.
That's different.
Okay.
That's different.
Okay. That's different. It's
yeah, because nobody really gets a post office box, so it doesn't matter.
And I say this, when you look at the FCC, I don't think you understand he who controls the media controls the mind. I really don't think you understand that. We are conditioned. We get more information subliminally from media than you can actually point out. From where you dress, how you drive, how you cut your hair, how you look, what you wear, where you go, how you think. I don't think you understand that. What you eat, it's all the way down to the feminine personal items. I don't think you understand that. Where you brush your teeth comes from the perceptions of media influence. It's true.
And these folks are going to come in there. And if you read down the article in the Wall Street Journal, Trace and I were looking at it earlier, from the head of the FCC, he's concerned that why did the station break from a story on voter registration to cover a story about Justin Bieber? Really? That's what the government's going to be looking at now? Folks, just because the government says do it, don't do it. It doesn't work that way. Say no.
But you have to realize it's the government is us, Mark.
Well, that's what the president
And the said. Problem is we are giving our power over to entities that do not like us. They don't respect us. It's like a battered husband. Or, I'm sorry, a battered wife with a husband that beats her.
We are the masses that need to be controlled because they view us as ignorant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll
the elitists that graduate from some of these
Ivy League schools.
They
started out as Christian schools.
Yeah.
Remember, they started out as seminaries.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Eric?
Yeah, they'll beat you up, then they'll show up with chocolates and roses, and everything will be okay until you make them mad again.
Women, until you make them mad again, heck, until later on that evening. You ain't got to make them mad.
Hey, Trace.
Yeah,
somebody put the exact quote of LBJ on the other day on my Facebook page, and it said, "These Negroes are getting uppity these days," and he said, "We're going to have to do something to calm them down, give them a little something, not to make a difference, but to quiet them down for a while." That has been how we have been handled for the past, since 1965, four or five. And I really want people to understand that, that that's how they've handled you, and that's what they do. They hold you a certain place, and you never rise above. If you don't take the initiative to rise above yourself, you're not going to rise. You and I and several other people, you know, because it, and Mark, I'm not trying to not include you, but it's a little easier step for you to make it in our society than it is for us, because we do have to deal with both sides.
The color of
our
skin.
We have to deal with the color of our skin, and then the knowledge of things that we don't know that was not talked about at our dinner tables. So we don't get a lot of information sometimes, because that's how it's set up to be. And so when you see us go past this stuff and we don't care, and so we have already conquered that part of our life where we you can't get me in the social justice. I don't believe in social justice. I believe in everybody being equal. I don't need a black agenda per se. I need the agenda to be fair for everybody from bottom to the top so that people can get up and move out. But they want to make it. We're going to make the people on the bottom just as equal as the people on the top.
But Jeff, this is something that really bothered me. We're going to make you like me.
We're going to
legislate your acceptance of me for who I am. We're going to and if you don't do it that way, then you are going to be ostracized, demonized, and criminalized if we can. You're going to always say happy things. It's like going to a ball game and telling me we can't have a winner and a loser anymore.
Yeah. That's all progressivism, and it's a damnable belief system. And as Mark said, was it yesterday or it's a more or less a religion. It is a religion. They believe in this.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson, he knew he wouldn't accomplish his goal in his lifetime. But he knew that eventually, 100 years from now,
in motion.
We would be where we are. We would be where we are today.
But the thing is, you can't convince people that it's not. I'm listening to Diva, and she's telling me, well, you can do this. Come on now.
Yeah, talking about the people going against the law down there in Florida. It's not the problem
not.
Of the law.
They're not going after the law.
So you're thinking that I'm just giving you excuses when you said not too long ago the same thing that I said. You
no,
said
Diva,
it yourself
said you don't, like
you don't have
it.
Any power when it comes to changing it or influence the media.
They're not
so,
trying to change anything.
It's okay
Diva,
for
you
to say
that,
but it's not okay
aren't.
For me to say it. I'm making excuses.
Diva, go back and listen to what I said.
The so-called black leaders are not trying to change the law. They don't care. Their kids aren't being shot. They live in gated communities. They don't care.
Right now, where I am right now, I cannot change the media as a single person. But as a collective voice, I can. But the problem is, somebody just got done telling me that Ted Nugent was more important than the FCC. And as long as we stay ignorant to our power and what we can do and how to change it, we will always be powerless.
The problem is, and I'm just going to be straight up honest, the problem is you're trying to speak to a group of people who through another group of people. You're not, and then you try to make it red. Every time we have this conversation, Jeff want to bring up Republican, Democrat. Look, we could get beyond Republican, Democrat. When you sit there and you're trying to talk to someone and all you can do is criticize how they vote, they're not going to listen to you. So why
Diva,
don't you just learn how to talk to people in a manner where you don't have to make them feel a certain way of how they vote.
Political.
It doesn't matter. If you are talking to them and trying to reach them, as you, Tracy Wimbush, as you, Jeff Green, instead of you vote Democrat, you vote that, maybe they'll listen to you. Then maybe they'll
Diva.
Be like me and say, oh, wait a minute, you know what, you're not that bad as I thought you were.
Diva.
But when you
because,
sit there and you target them with that, you vote Democrat, you do this,
you
do you that,
don't
they're
listen,
not going to listen.
Sweetie, you don't listen. Because
they're not
going
to listen
because
you caused them not to.
But Diva,
no,
and the reason
no.
why, if you want me to lie to you,
you
and
don't
I
have to
Diva,
lie.
I have told you in a non-political way of what needs to happen on both sides as an independent, and people don't listen. But when I tell you in partisan politics, I called out Republicans yesterday. Jeff and I disagreed. I still called them out, whether they like it or not. But when I tell you the truth, that the Democrats don't allow you to eat at the front table in the formal dining room,
You need to hear me when I say that, because it's true.
How about you not lead with that?
Because
it
is
you,
the truth of it.
But the fact of the matter is, if you're trying to make, because all they're hearing is, oh, you're trying to turn me into a Republican. I get what you're saying. It's the truth, and you're just trying to enlighten people. I completely get that. But you're talking to, you're trying to change, you're trying to affect change, you're trying to reach people. In my communications class, I always taught us you have to reach your audience where they're at. You're
and
not going to reach
you where
somebody
you at.
Who is,
but if you
know,
don't
you're trying
hear
to
me,
change their voting habits.
I'm not, listen, you have to change your voting habits.
Tracy, if they're thinking you're, that's all you want me to do is vote for Republicans, they're going to shut
no,
you out.
God.
I know that's not your intention. I know that's not your intention. But
Diva,
you're trying to reach a, you're trying to reach your people.
Diva,
I reach
I'm
your people,
to tell
I get
you.
That. We know these type of people you're trying to reach. And I, because
Diva.
I've been entrenched with these type of people, I
Diva.
Know how they
I'm not
think.
Talking to, I'm not talking about the everyday. I'm talking about the people that I know with walking down the street that I work with. I'm talking about people opening up their minds to think.
Oh, so you're only trying to reach a certain type of
No, Diva, I'm not trying to reach a certain. I'm trying to reach people in America who look like me. And what I'm
okay,
telling
that's what
you
I'm
is,
saying.
Diva,
that's what
Diva,
I'm saying.
Locally in your party, in this upcoming election, if you go in and you go straight down the Democrat ticket, you're going to be in trouble here
Tracy,
in Mahoning County.
I get that.
So
No, you don't get that. Yes,
that's
I do get that. I even admitted to that. I even on my Facebook have railed and commented about the local Democratic Party in Mahoning County. Okay? My eyes have been open. I can see. That's what I'm saying. I listened to you on your show because there are times when you have been non-political to where my eyes have been open and my ears have been receptive. But every time, what I'm trying to say is every time you come at somebody like Jeff, it's always Democrat and Republican.
But I have to.
Be turned off. You don't have
I
to
have
do
to.
That when you're... When the point is bigger than Democrats and Republicans, you
but
don't have
not.
To say, oh, we need to change how the media perceives us, but the problem is you vote Democrat.
What I'm saying, it is true. The problem is you don't understand that the progressives have been hijacked by the progressive. I'm sorry, the Democrats have been hijacked by the progressive arm.
Okay, I'm not going to.
I know.
Okay.
Let me give you a for instance, Diva, and I'll jump out of it after this. Okay, did you know that when Governor Strickland was governor, that he took something like $20 million out of the early college program in Ohio? Did you know that?
Hey, Mark.
No, I knew the program was cut, but I did not know it was cut by
okay,
the government.
Okay, well, he cut it. He cut it, and he cut it on purpose. And when people raised hell about it, we raised hell starting here on the radio, and we made some caused some local Democrats to have to get up in arms to have something done about it because they were going to end the program here cold turkey 1 year at that time. Well,
I remember that.
The program's still going on now. We had to do it because if we had not done it, there would be no voice saying nothing. And we, believe you me, don't you think we don't reach into the black community? We absolutely.
I'm not saying you don't.
I'm just saying. We absolutely reach into the black community here because we hear it
when
we go.
What I am saying is I see that you and Tracy have a lot to offer the African American community in the inner city of Youngstown. You two really do. But the fact is I think the way you go about your messaging is just wrong, and it turns them off.
You don't
and I know
like
in
it.
Your heart you think you're doing good, but I'm trying to tell you the only way you can reach.
But what we're trying to tell you, Diva,
is. You don't have to be disingenuous. You just have to change your tactic.
I can't change my tactic because it's political.
Okay.
Absolutely. And guess what, Tracy and Diva, Tracy knows this. We're screaming this because we see you getting ready to go into the oven.
Right.
And
you see them getting ready to go into the oven. You
yeah,
two
so
have the ability to affect change in that community. And I'm trying to tell you this is how these people are seeing it. These are how these people are thinking.
I
and you're going to watch them go into that oven
Diva,
and burn things because you don't want to miss it.
Listen to guys. Guys, listen to this. We got a house race getting ready to come up in the primary.
Right.
And you've got a woman by the name of Janet Tarpley, a black woman by the name of Janet Tarpley, a
uh-huh.
black woman by the name of Cynthia McWilson, and you
uh-huh.
have a white woman by the name of Michelle Hagan, Lepore Hagan.
Uh-huh.
And in Mahoning County, especially in a House district race, there's no way that you can actually put two black people in a race and come out with one. But to put that aside, let's look at what the caucus down in Columbus did. They endorsed Michelle Lepore Hagan before the end of filing, so that they would make sure that they got who they wanted in there.
And without checking, even talking to the other two candidates.
No interviews, no shaking hands, no send in your background, no kiss my grits, no we're getting ready to do this. We're just going to come straight out sometime before the end of filing while people are just trying to figure out who's running. Let me tell you who we want you to vote for automatically. And this is the Democrat caucus. They supported her already. You can't tell me that I'm supposed to not say something about what's going on here when you don't understand that you've been played before they even tuned up for the orchestra. And then tell me, well, you're talking about Republican Democrat. I'm telling you what they did. And you don't like what I'm saying.
It's
but
different
I can't
as me as a Democrat. Diva. It's different as me as a Democrat telling them this stuff. It's
it doesn't matter.
Republican,
you can't
because
tell them because you're not
is,
yelling it.
Tracy, listen, all they're thinking is, you just want me to vote Republican. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you been told that? And you know that's not true. I know that's not true.
But, Diva, but you have to vote Republican because that's the only other person you can vote for.
So are you really trying to get people to vote Republican, or are you just trying to get them their eyes open and then make a conscious decision for themselves?
Diva, if they're going to vote for the Democrat who hasn't done anything for the last 30 years for them, and you're going to continue to do it, I want you to vote for the other person.
Okay, then never mind. I stand corrected then. So you are really just trying to switch people to a different
party. No. Listen, Diva, there's only one other major party. I mean, what are you going to do?
If my eyes are open, and I still say, but you know what? I see what they're doing, but I'm still going to vote this way because this is why I'm voting this way. I'm not going to just vote just because they're Democrat, but I'm voting this way because you're still saying, no, you're wrong.
No, I'm saying,
if
I support John McNally, I support John McNally. John McNally is the mayor of the city of Youngstown. He's a Democrat. If I support him, I support him even as a Republican. But at least I know that I'm not going to put somebody in there if they are a Republican that's wacky. I'm a Republican, but I'm going to support John McNally because he's the better candidate. It is what it is. But I'm not going to just support you because... Oh, you're a Republican. I'm going to support you anyhow.
That's what I just asked. I said as long as people's eyes are open and they're going to vote for the person, not because they're a Democrat, but because they're voting for
that
person.
But that's not what they do, Diva. They will skip the race.
They support that person based on their ideals.
Diva, the media has demonized Republicans to the place, especially when it comes to the underserved and black people. Well, they will say, well, listen, Diva, I ran for office, and this is what people told me. They said, Tracy, I just want you to know, I voted the other day, and I didn't vote for you because I can't vote for a Republican, but I didn't vote for the other guy either. Well, how did that help me?
I agree. How many times have I said, you know what, in the beginning of calling to the show, I said, Tracy, I would never vote for you just because you're a Republican.
So, Diva,
I had to walk some words back.
But, Diva, I ran against a guy who was indicted. Federal indictment.
I understand what you're saying. Is this about you getting people to vote Republican?
No, Diva, it's about getting people to make good choices.
Okay. But what's the good choice?
And the problem is, you have been, going back to this FCC thing, we have allowed our media to demonize one party and glorify another and hijack our media to where, instead of them actually just giving you the facts as they should, they give you their bias. And so you believe that Republicans are all racist and they won't do anything for you. And Democrats are in love with
agenda.
You.
And they'll have a
and
law on the side that they get.
And that's what they're doing.
And so they tell you, if
you don't vote for Barack Obama, Mitt Romney going to put y'all back in chains. And you allow Biden to come out there with that southern accent. And they tell you, so you stand in line before. They tell you John Houston, he's a racist because he don't want you to vote all day, but I'm going to send a ballot to your house if you want one. and you stand in line for hours instead of just walking past because they don't educate you that all you had to do was fill out a form, they'd mail it to the house, and you could walk it back in. And we allowed it to happen. We allowed people, we allowed the electoral system of Ohio to be demonized for a political process. And that was wrong.
Yeah, people actually believed that he was going to put you back in chains.
And they stood in line for hours to vote for somebody who did nothing for you.
Here's the one that's getting me. The community gardens are sitting in your neighborhoods, okay, on vacant property where you used to have a neighbor at. They now have community gardens. Now, who's teaching the young black people how to go out there and work the fields, per se? Not that they shouldn't, and I'm not saying I'm saying it a certain way. If this was a Republican program, you know there would not be a single black person in it, and you would hear they just want us to learn how to work the fields.
Of course, I'm not denying
yeah,
bigotry culture of politics in Mahoning County.
No,
I
no,
Diva,
this is across the country.
This is in the country.
This is across the country.
I can only speak for
Diva,
what
I am
know.
Sitting here. I listen. I'm sitting here watching. They show Detroit is bankrupt still. Detroit is 85% black, and they show me Detroit, and they show me a bunch of white people. I go to Detroit, and I can't find a white person going up and down the street. So how can you have a city that is 85% black, yet controlled by all white and Democrat to the core, and think racism is not going on when black people don't own anything there?
And why would you need somebody else to tell you to build a garden in your community?
Yes, something is wrong with that picture.
And why is it that you always think that they're in love with you, but they don't give you anything that you need to advance you, to take you out of the situation that you're in?
They have been systematically brainwashed.
So when I tell you that you have to vote for another choice, you tell me, well, you just tell me to vote Republican. Well, there's only two in the boat. There's red and blue. There ain't no gray, ain't no white, and ain't no purple. Which one are you going to choose? Well, we'll just stay in the boat and let us drown because the other ones are racist because they might call me a mongrel. Hello?
No, it's not just that black people think the Republicans are racist. It's their actions that they believe that
Diva,
because
what
they're
action,
racist.
It's the action,
Diva,
it's the action that the media shows you. It is the action going back to the original conversation of Mark's rant. It is the actions that the media has shown you, the same way that they only show you when white people kill black people, but not when black people kill white people.
Or black people kill black people.
Oh, no, we don't see that at all.
You don't see that at all.
Oh, we've always saw that. No. Come on now.
That's a wash. No, Diva, that's a wash. We show you the black boy in the orange suit, but we don't show you the face. We don't actually demonize what's really going on when it's black on black.
What are you talking about? That's all I used to see on the news was black on black crime.
No, you saw the criminal. You saw the drug dealer. But you didn't see it to where you were actually upset about what happened. So right now we see another black boy down. We just turn the channel on the news. We ain't even mad about it, unless a white person killed him. White person killed him, we upset. But if it's two black people, don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
Trayvon Martin, 65, died in Chicago that weekend.
No one said a word.
No one said a doggone thing.
He's from Chicago.
That's not true, because there were plenty of rallies and plenty of outcries going on at that time.
No one.
Yes, there were. Yes, there were.
Where?
See, this is the problem with y'all watching Fox.
I don't watch Fox News. I keep on telling.
Discussion.
Do I watch Fox News?
Not only on Racial Maddow, but Lawrence O'Donnell, Chris Matthews, they all were discussing it.
Yeah, you told 50 people because that's all that watch either one of those shows.
Okay.
But listen,
no,
Rachel Maddow,
Chris Matthews. He gets a tingle
up
his leg.
That's the one who had the twinkle down his leg when Obama spoke.
Well, Matthew
had a twinkle. He was having a discussion.
Twinkle toes.
No, they weren't.
How you going to tell me they weren't? I watched
because,
it.
Steve, because I watch MSNBC and CNN.
I didn't see it on Fox News.
I don't watch Fox News. So we can all get that straight. I'm not a Fox News watcher.
I do, and it was on there.
I know y'all do. You and Mark, I know y'all Fox Newsers.
I watch everything. You can't don't label me.
I don't do Fox News because I'm trying to see what y'all crazy people are out there saying. And when I watch MSNBC, they're the craziest people I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how in the world y'all can actually look at what they say and not go research what they say.
Remember when Mitt Romney beat Obama in that debate? Chris Matthews was about to cry. I thought he was going to go back to drinking.
Don't worry. I think he did. Because have you heard him lately?
Well, they're going off the charts now because they're looking at what's going on. They can't hide it anymore. It's coming out.
And they have to start saying something.
And the group of supporters are shrinking and shrinking and shrinking ever so slowly, but it's shrinking.
What do you think CNN just said that they're not going to be in the news business anymore?
Who's CNN, Jeff? They're doing movies and stuff, except for what his face is, Vanderbilt's son, with the white hair.
Okay,
Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper. I can watch him for about 3 minutes, and I start to cringe. And then there's Lemon, who's the
Don Lemon
who came out.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to watch other stations, but I can't because I get too aggravated. But I'm going to say something in defense of Fox News, just so you know. I am tired of them demonizing Fox News. They do have opinion programs on, but Brett Baer's program at 6 o'clock is about as good as it gets, and it's followed by Greta Van Susteren, who also does an outstanding job. And Brett Hume is top-notch as political commentator, and Chris Wallace, all of which are very centrist, neutral shows. And
listen, your president told you the other day.
I know.
The reason why things keep on happening the way they are is because Fox News keeps on pushing the issue.
Which is the oldest trick in the book. Find an enemy and point the finger.
How can a president blame a media news outlet for his failures? That just makes no sense to me.
That's an interesting thing. Fox News might have about 10, 11, 12 million viewers, which sounds like a lot, but there's 325 million people in the country. So they reach a segment. Normally it might be in the 6 to 8 million range. You go over to CNN, they're watching between 800,000 and 1 million tops, and some of their programs are getting who's the British dude? I can't stand him. Pierce Morgan might have 350,000 people watching him. That's like running the news here in Youngstown.
I have more people than that that listen to me.
I can believe it.
That's bad. Tomorrow we have Justice Sharon Kennedy.
And we all have to be good because this is a lucky buck.
But tomorrow's going to be a good educational legal day, and we're going to talk. We're going to do open mic afterwards. But I want to really get into a firm legal understanding of a lot of legal jargon between the two people. So I'm going to interview these guys and talk about what really matters in life. Because if you don't know what people are talking about, and if you don't have an education, for the lack of, with all that getting, get an understanding, and you need to understand what you're hearing. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 330-781-9600 or 347-945-5229. Never mind. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at...
Okay, who is always making the noise? How do you not know you're still online, still on the phone, and can be heard? Hello, is anyone there?